Good morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, what do we got on tap for today? Deaf Rat Guy's coming by. Let's hope he's sober. He's going to give another pass at getting involved with the show. He's a 50-year senior over at USC's in the Teak House. He wants a gig when he graduates, and that's coming up. So we're going to try him out. I think we're going to try him out in traffic.
I think we should just whatever it is. I know you're making every effort. I mean, I just think hire the guy and we'll figure it out. He seems like an ambitious kid.
Well, he's good people. There's no doubt about that. But look who's honored us with her presence. It's Rachel Perry. So nice of you to join us.
That's one of those things
that ended in high school. Oh, Mr. Damashek, you're honoring us with an appearance this morning. How delightful. To what do we owe this honor?
Always brought the house down, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're killing me, Adam.
You know, the thing that's funny is we spend the better part of... Basically, for me, now I was part of the LA Unified School District, so I was essentially warehoused, but about 50% of my education was guided toward show up and stop being so goddamn late. And not only mine, but everyone I knew. It was all about show up and stop being late. That was about half of the battle, was where were you? You're late again. I need a note. What do you mean you took 3 days off to go to the dentist? About 50% of the people who worked at LA Unified School District were really in charge of you not being tardy, which is a word that seems to go away after you graduate. And then the other is, where were you? I need a note. Go to the office. You can't go. You know, you need another pass. You know, a lot of just sort of wrangling. And then the other part was a little sprinkling of education, but it really wasn't much.
They didn't set the bar high for you at all?
No.
So it's just like for me, they would have discussions like, Dave B is, you know, you're better than this. Come on, please apply
really?
Yourself. You should.
Did you get that?
Yeah, you should
Who
be better.
Who did you get
than-
that from?
Teachers and my parents.
Teachers.
Yeah, my parents too. But yeah, the teachers. They have, but with the likes of you, institutionalized sort of low expectations.
Well, I got a couple things. First off, I didn't interact with my parents too much about the education stuff. And now as I look back on it, we had a kind of quiet, unspoken relationship, which was, I'm not going to burden you with the come on out to the open house because I sure as hell don't want you talking to my teachers face to face. And I know you lazy F's don't want to talk to my teachers face to face. I mean, really think about it. It's a Tuesday night. It's 7:30. All in the family's going to be on in an hour. Where the hell am I going? You know, I mean, if you're my parents, they don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. So it sort of worked out.
Yeah, but then don't they look like bad parents to the rest of the school?
No, because at least half the school, the three-quarters of the school's parents aren't showing up anyway. So they've just joined the majority over there.
You would think that that would be in your benefit to make them look like bad parents because then you can my parents just don't love me. Like, you have this excuse for being tardy and...
I never really had any conversations with any of my teachers other than, I had a counselor, but the counselors sort of have two modes they would go in. If you're a good student, they would go into, well, let's see if we can get you into Stanford mode. And if you're a bad student, they went into containment mode. It's if you're an oil tanker that ran across some coral. They're just going to spread a net out and see if they can stop the damage. There's going to be damage, but they're just going to see if they can contain you. Mm-hmm. You know, my buddies, Chris and Ray, they were in sort of containment mode. They weren't into the refinement mode. Let's get the crude. Uh-oh, knocked my coffee over. Let's get the crude onto the shore and start refining it. Mm-hmm. No, they were more like, well, we got to contain the spill. This is a mess.
Listen, Chris, Ray, Adam, you guys have now gone 7 days combined without flinging feces at one another or any other student.
Well, that's not.
Let's keep the ball rolling here.
Right.
You're doing great stuff.
Yeah.
Did you kind of just wish that someone would have taken you aside and been like, we see some raw talent in you, Adam. We don't want you to mess this up. You could do great things with your life, Adam.
No. I mean, maybe. I didn't have any raw talent. What's the problem? I mean, I didn't really have any directions to go. I'm such a horrible student. I just, there wasn't, you know, it's not their fault. They didn't have anything for me to do.
Were you though? Were you a big class clown? Did you bring the house down?
Yeah, I was.
Really?
But I kind of feel like you were too smart for what they were dishing out. You know what I mean? Like, you may have been a bad student, but you're a very intelligent person.
Well, thank you, Rachel.
Oh, I mean that.
Well, I like that. It's a good angle. I wish it was true. I mean, I wish it was one of those things where I was just bored because I wasn't being challenged intellectually. But that wasn't the situation. I wasn't a good student, and I wasn't really good at much. I was good at football and decent at baseball, and I was kind of a clown. And I guess if you would have put a team of people on me to really scratch and find out my direction in life, they could have done it. But there was 1,000 of me and one of them, and, you know, they didn't have time. And there was no difference between just Johnny Crappy student who's working as a garbage man and me to them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, they had their hands full. It's just another D-minus student who's not, you know, showing up tardy.
It would be ironic if Johnny Crappy student was an A-plus kid, you know? Overcoming that last name seems like you'd be hamstrung.
Johnny Crappy student?
Yeah. Your name is Crappy student.
You know what I'm
really...
No, wait. Okay. It's like Johnny Law. His last name isn't really Law, even though his job is to apprehend Johnny Crappy student. But here's my point. I don't even know what I wanted to talk about. It wasn't this. Here's my bigger point. See, Thomas Howell is coming on the show tonight. He's going to be on 24 coming up, and 1,000 different movies. His IMDb goes on. It just keeps spilling out 100 and some odd movies.
Who's more jazzed, you or me? I don't know. I can't wait.
It's going to be tough. Deaf Frat Guy might be kind of pumped too.
I didn't even know. Does C. Thomas Howell have a radio show?
Yes.
It's so weird. I was driving this weekend and I heard it and I was like, wait, what? What?
Yeah, it's Sunday night.
It was good.
It's on this channel.
It was funny. Yeah, it was funny.
My first girlfriend is his producer.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, can we go back to something? This reminded me about school and being a class clown, so on and so forth.
Sure.
The funniest I'd like to hear, I think the audience would like to hear, the funniest thing that Adam Carolla thinks he's ever said in his lifetime. The funniest crack he's ever made. And Rachel, think about yours. But first, what people don't want to hear is my funniest crack of all time, and I'll share it with you now.
Oh, you have one?
Yes.
Wow.
Seventh grade, social studies.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Walzer, Mr. Walzer, is teaching us about the inhuman conditions which the African people who were kidnapped and stolen to be slaves in the U.S. He's teaching us about how awful it was bringing them over on the ships, detailed in the movie Amistad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people sleeping literally on top of each other and, you know, awful, awful stuff. And he's telling about this. Somebody raises their hand and says, Mr. Walzer, where did they go to the bathroom? Where'd they go to the bathroom? And like this. I mean, it didn't take me. It wasn't 2 seconds. It wasn't 1 second.
Raw talent.
It was, where did they go to the bathroom? I shouted out, the poop deck.
Yes.
The house came down. Mr. Walzer wanted to be angry at me, but if he would have, been rendered evil for the rest of time. He had to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best I'll ever do. The poop deck.
Yeah, nice.
That's good stuff,
and that's
right?
When you knew.
Yes.
What grade was this in?
Seventh grade.
Wow.
Not bad.
Thank you. So
think
up your own.
I don't know if it was the funniest thing. I mean, it was the first moment that I remember that I enjoyed providing laughter for the masses, and I can't even totally remember. I just remember I was in like day camp at the Y, and we were doing like a performance of like our own little play of Cinderella or something, and I like goofed up my line, and everybody laughed, and I was like, hey, hey,
felt good.
It felt good. Felt good to be laughed with and not at. Hey, bring it on. All right, I'll be here all week.
The earliest joke I can remember, but I probably only remember it because my grandfather repeated it back to me later on in life when I could remember it, you know, citing it as a very early joke, was I had a step-grandfather from Hungary, and he used to cook up the great Hungarian food. And I'd go over there and go sick once a week, and he'd make like goulash and stuff like that. I must have been about 6 or 7, and he was explaining to me that goulash, I guess I was asking what goulash meant or what it translated into, and he basically said cowboy stew meant cowboy stew. They would eat it out on the range in wherever they were in Hungary. And I said, oh, do the little kids in Hungary play goulash and Indians? That was my earliest joke. Not nice. Bad for a 6-year-old.
Yeah, that's
doing
solid.
Some basic math.
Yeah.
All right, here's what we're gonna do. We're going to play a round of Goulash and Indians. Phone in if you. No, we're gonna play Ask Kiss Rodeo because there are 3 spots open for the Elite 8. We're going to Vegas. We want you to be there. We want you to play for $5,000, which has been donated so graciously from Playboy Television. $5,000 for playing Ask Kiss Rodeo, but we're still 3 short in our brackets.
Tomorrow.
We're doing the Elite 8. We're playing tomorrow. So we need you to phone in. We'll take a break. We'll break a little bit early, and then we'll come back with a spirited round of Ask Kiss Rodeo.
The $5,000 Ask Kiss Rodeo Tournament is sponsored by Playboy Entertainment. All new Night Calls with Jesse Jane begins Friday on Playboy TV.
Yeah, I love that Night Calls. I like to see what actually goes on when I'm talking dirty to a hot chick, you know. I used to suspect that they were faking it, you know, when I would call up a chick and I'd be like, you know, you pay for one of those 800 numbers. Is it a 900 number? Mm-hmm. The ones you pay for, the 900?
900.
What happened to those? They still around? I don't hear about them so much anymore.
I think everybody texts now. That's all the things that you see. Text 46446.
My point is, I used to be a little suspicious, and when I called the sexy 900 numbers and paid $4 a minute, that the chicks weren't actually doing what they said they were doing, you know, and weren't actually as hot as they say they are, and weren't actually, you know, feeling it with me. But after watching Night Calls, I know. They're beautiful, and they're actually, you know, when they say, oh, you're making me hot, they actually are getting made hot, and they're undressed. And, you know, when they go like, ooh, my friend's joining in, she actually is. And when they say they're young and they're blonde and they're nubile, it's true. It's true. Whereas before, I kept thinking I had this little kernel of truth, this little kernel in my brain that thought, you know, maybe the chick isn't over 6 foot. Maybe she's not an au pair from Sweden. And maybe she's not actually as into this as I am. But now I know. I've seen it. There's a show, Night Calls. It's great.
It's a documentary. I haven't seen it.
I remember they were filming that on a stage I was working at once, or they were doing that thing where it's like, yeah, once you guys get loaded out, Night Calls comes in and we film here. And I thought, man, what a good tech job. You know what I mean? Like if you're just the guys operating the camera or just working the teleprompter or whatever they use, that's just a good tech gig, you know? That's a nice tech gig as opposed to working on Smoosh or some kid's show where a volcano blows up and spits goo every 10 seconds. That's a good gig.
If you're the guy that gets to put the microphone on.
Right.
Man, I got stuck on Jeopardy.
Yeah, you're the guy. But you could be in charge of the lav mic on Night Calls. I like, if you watch porn, I like when the credits roll. I like when everybody has a fake name in porn, even the tech guys. Like, the boom, it'll say like boom operator, Dick Nibbler. And it's like, oh, really? Is that, you need the credit? Mr. Nibbler does some of the greatest sound boom work there. Like, just don't put your name in it. Don't put anything in. You don't have to put fake porn credit names in there.
The gaffer, Peter goes in her.
Yeah, I really watch if you can stay with the porn long enough to make it to the end. Watch, they'll have all the credits for all the tech guys too. All right, now it is time to play some Ask Kiss Rodeo. We have 3 spots open for the Elite 8. We're going to be in Vegas tomorrow playing this. You can win $5,000 from the aforementioned Playboy Television. Let's start with Zach. Zach.
Good morning, Ace.
Good morning, Zach. You ready to go?
Absolutely.
All right. Now, Mike, do we have our time limit here? How are we going to do this? We don't have that worked up yet?
Yeah.
We do.
How much? We want to give them how long?
Well, let's see, because I started to think maybe we'd do a little time limit here. Maybe 30 seconds.
Okay.
Let's see how that works.
Here.
All right. You ready? All right. Let's begin.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Oh, we're starting. Yeah, sorry. I like Coke. Turn it down, would you please? I can't focus. I'm a Coke man. How say you, Zach?
Well, Adam, someone with your impeccable taste, of course, would like Coke, because it is the drink of the Olympics. It's the drink of champions, and I'd expect someone of your caliber to drink nothing less but the best.
On the other hand, I like Pepsi better.
You know, Pepsi has its pluses, and with your impeccable taste and your sophisticated palate, it's only necessary that you change up the taste to keep it fresh for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Was that 30 seconds? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Maybe we should go a little longer.
You don't get through too many of these in 30.
No.
Wow. Hey, you were doing quite nicely, Zach.
Why, thank you, Adam. Coming from you, that's the biggest compliment I've received in my life. I will take this and listen to it daily.
Oh, he's in.
Yeah. Let's keep going. Chuck Norris, greatest martial artist to ever make a movie.
Without a doubt, the only thing that could trump Norris would be if you were to take any sort of martial arts, then Chuck would have to hide from you.
That's right.
I think you have the raw skills.
Thank you. Steven Seagal, though, would make short work of Chuck Norris.
Steven Seagal may make short work of Chuck Norris, but again, Adam, you would take Steven Seagal by his ponytail, fling him around the room, karate chop his neck, and make him look like a sissy girl.
Wow.
I've heard enough, too. He's good. I have one small criticism, though.
Yeah.
He said, after you said Steven Seagal will take Chuck Norris, he said, yeah, he may. If you say it, he's got to say you are 100% correct, not may.
I understand, but...
But still.
Yeah, really. Zach.
Yes, sir.
Solid
splitting
stuff.
Splitting hairs there.
We
yeah.
really are.
Yeah, he was good, though.
Solid stuff. Hang on, would you please?
Absolutely. For you, Adam, I will hang on hold all day long.
Well, guy could get used to this.
It's in his blood, I think. I think that's the thing. I mean, yeah. He's just born with the genes.
He's got a gift. He's got an ass-kissing gift. Maybe his dad was a great brown noser.
Mm. It is largely genetic. A lot of it, you know, just can be passed down. So,
His grandfather came from the old country on the SS Tokai Smooch. It's a Greek ship.
Oh.
Yeah. Eric?
Hello.
You want to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo?
Yeah, I do.
Three spots open for the Elite Eight.
Not two now.
Oh, two. Well, here's why I put Zach on hold. Zach's great, but who knows? Eric, Jeff, and... Uh-oh, what happened to Zach? He just popped off. Oh, you talked to him. Here's what I'm saying. I didn't want to commit yet. I wanted to hear everybody, and then we'll pick our three.
Understand, we have rankings, you understand. We're like right now the NCAA selection committee.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting off in some hotel room right now.
Right.
They're ranking people, but nothing's set in stone. You know, there's no firm entry yet.
Right.
Well, that's firm entry. Nope. That's another subject.
No guarantee. Right. All right, so, Eric?
Yes.
You ready to play a little... Ask Kiss Rodeo?
Are we giving him 60 seconds?
I'm ready.
Yeah, let's give him 60 seconds. Okay. Try that.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
Crash. I think it deserved to win.
Of course it did. And it did, didn't it?
Oh, hold on, Eve. Asking me. Ask question marks.
Confuse the heck out of you.
Isn't it? What am I supposed to do?
Whether or not it actually happened, if Adam Carolla says that that's the way it should have gone, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who cares what the Academy voted?
You could have said Wedding Crashers won, and he would have had to agree with you.
That's correct.
All right.
Well, should we give him a mulligan? Should we give him a mulligan and try again?
It is early in the morning, yes.
We'll give you a mulligan. Rachel shows no pity, but I do. So let's try one more time. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
It's all right. Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Crash. I think it deserved the Oscar.
Of course it did. Everybody knows that. Especially you. We all look to you for answers.
What the hell happened?
Everybody knows that. It depends on you saying it.
Right. Yeah.
There was something weird about that one.
Mike didn't like it.
This man's just confusing me.
I don't know. So now I'm torn because the first one was definitely a hiccup. That one, Mike jumped in on, I thought, maybe a little prematurely. I think you're kind of like a ref that stopped the fight.
Can
a
I say
early.
Something? No, I'm with Lynch on this one because you went back to the same one. He should have gold. You give him a mulligan from the same spot. He should really knock it down.
Everybody knows. It doesn't. Who cares?
Stop
about
everybody. Well, it's true. It's
not
about me.
Everybody.
It should have been
you.
A home run. He's
right.
Done.
Eric, I'm sorry.
Okay.
We still hope to see you there tomorrow.
All right.
You make sure you wear your L shirt so we know who you are. All right. Andre wants to try along. Let's see. Andre?
Yeah, what's up, Adam?
You ready to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo?
I'm ready.
It's interesting. Hold on a second, Lynch. I'm trying to think. This could be a sport, maybe the one sport, where the brothers have no advantage.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Mm.
This could be the one sport that the Jews dominate.
This could be the hockey of the 21st century.
The Jewish hockey. Chewy. Yeah.
Chewy. Yeah.
Andre?
Juki.
Yeah, what's
Juki.
Up,
you're not, what color are you, Andre?
What's that?
What color are you?
Actually, I'm Hispanic.
Ooh, yeah. This could be tough. This I really could be the one sport that the Jews and the whites dominate. But let's see. Let's see
we'll
how
see.
You do, Andre. You ready to rock?
Sure am.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
I cannot wait for that NCAA tournament. It is so much better than the NBA.
Of course it is, Adam. Oh, I mean, you know, with your line, you know.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I like the NBA better.
Well, yeah, the NBA is cool. I mean, you know, if you think the NBA...
I'm sorry, it's casual. Here's the thing. Yeah, the NBA's cool. You said that in passing. I just said I like the NBA better than the NAACP, than the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And you just sort of passed it off.
Okay.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry, Andre. But listen, we do. I don't know if there's some. I don't know if the. If there's a affirmative action or anything involved here, I don't know if we need to, a little color in the tournament.
Well, how about this though? How about that? There are no boobs in the tournament, as far as I can recall. We have no women.
Some females, yeah. Andre.
Yeah.
Do you know any chicks who can play Ass Kiss Rodeo?
Maybe my wife.
Mm-hmm. Well, you want to try another round?
Sure. Let's go.
You feeling good? All right. Let's try it again.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Dancing with the Stars, best show on television.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you, Adam. You know, if you think it's a great show, then that's definite.
Nah, I don't know. Yeah. If I think it's a great show, it is a great show.
Yeah.
I could never be wrong. I appreciate the effort. You know, look, I feel like Simon Cowell here sometimes, where it's tough love, but I feel like I'm doing you a favor. Because you could get hurt out there. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
I feel like the father of an undersized boy who doesn't have great foot speed. Well, Dave Damashek back in the 7th, 8th grade saying, son, you're just not going to play football. You're not going to play tackle football. And the kid is disappointed. What do you mean? Son, I love you too much. I don't want to see you get hurt out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could get hurt. If you don't have the skills to play Ass Kiss Rodeo and we do a live tournament like we're doing in Vegas, somebody could end up in a wheelchair.
I mean, I don't think any of these people are wearing helmets or knee pads or anything. They need to be wearing the proper protective
equipment.
Knee
pads would definitely help.
Absolutely.
Helmet, I don't know what you do with that, but the knee pads.
You never know. You should always wear a helmet.
I'll tell you.
I'm wearing one right now.
I want to get to the stage in life where I carry around one of those gardening pads. You ever see those things? They sell them in the Sky Mall. There's little pads you carry when you garden. You throw them down on your walk, and that's it. That's how you know. That's I have a few. I have some criteria when I need to be shot. I'm going to make a deal with everybody. Don't tell me. Don't argue with me. If you ever see me doing this, just shoot me. Mm-hmm. That'll mean it's time to go. Mm-hmm. And if you tell me in advance, I'll argue it away. But if you see me using one of those gardening foam rubber pads, you just put a sniper bullet in me.
I have a few people who have said that I've made that arrangement with. If I see, there are a few things, if you see them, all I say is like drop something on the floor when I bend over to get it, just a couple on the back of the head.
Right.
I don't want to see it coming is the key. That's exactly right.
Yeah, if you see, if you start defending and sure, saying, no, no, it's good.
No, I changed my mind. No. Just let's understand that.
That's right.
It's time for me to go.
Howard?
Yes.
You want to play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo?
Oh, definitely, Adam. Definitely.
All right. Now, if we get you in, you
it's
can play tomorrow,
Kiss
right?
Rodeo.
You know what? I'll make sure I take off work just to do it.
All right. I love Canada.
I love Canada.
Wow, he's awesome.
Wow. Howard, the connection is bad, buddy.
You know what this is like? This is like Jim Abbott, the former pitcher, only had one hand. He was handicapped playing the sport.
Yeah.
Having a bad connection is the equivalent. It's like being handicapped.
Yeah, that's
it's
tough.
It's not the special.
It's hard to overcome.
Special Olympics right. Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Yeah, let's try Jeff. Have we done Jeff? Yeah. Jeff?
Yes.
You want to play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo?
I sure do.
All right, you ready?
I am.
Here we go.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Crash. I say deserve the Oscar.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Adam. The Crash is a great movie, and any recommendation you would give would definitely ensure the victory.
I recommend Brokeback Mountain in that case. I think it was superior to Crash.
Oh, well, of course. Anything that that has gay cowboys, anything on the edge, I'm sorry, the edge of society, is going to...
A little bumpy.
Oh.
Little bumpy. You know what? The problem is we started with the dessert, and then we worked our way to the salad. It's not the way to eat. You know, we started with Zach. Zach was off the charts, and it's been downhill ever since.
So now you're holding the future competitors, the following competitor, much higher standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think of Jeff? Any thoughts on Jeff?
Sorry, Jeff.
Wow.
I thought he had some potential there. I mean,
we're looking for the best of the best.
He's got to jump in right away. There's a lot of pause, hemming and hawing. He's got to, you know.
You know, again, I know I don't want to be a hard ass. I don't want to see someone get hurt out there tomorrow. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if a guy like Jeff's up to it.
And because we're bringing, you know, the most vicious bull for them to ride. These aren't, you know.
That's right.
You're going to raise your game.
I'm bringing the Widowmaker.
Right.
On carry on. Yeah. Brent?
Yes.
Want to play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo?
Absolutely.
All right.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
They do it every time.
I'll tell you the best form of porn, internet porn.
Of course. You can get it anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, on the other hand, nothing better than a DVD.
Yeah, then you can pause, rewind, play, handle your business at home.
Mm. I live for traffic reports. That's how I negotiate and navigate this city.
That's the best way to do it. You don't want to go out there blinded. You want to have
I'm sorry. No, you're going along. You're going along okay, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm fighting traffic trying to get to work. So.
You hit a speed bump. Hey, everyone has an excuse of why they can't play Ask Us Rodeo.
All right, well, thanks a lot.
All right.
I would rather, you know what, I would have said give him another shot if he would have said, like, I'm dealing with traffic. I'm not going to use that as an excuse, though. I just didn't have my best stuff today.
I like when the people bring up the stuff that they're not going to use an excuse
about.
Yeah. Hyperextended throwing arm. I could bring that up as an excuse, but I'm not.
I've never been one to make excuse. Our flight got in late, and we didn't get to sleep as a team, and we didn't get to, you know, and the referees were against us the whole game. But I'm not going to use those things as excuses. They
That's
beat
right.
us.
Wow. How noble of you. Howard?
Yes.
All right. Now we have a better connection?
Yeah, I had to pull over. Sorry, Adam.
All right. You ready to play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo?
Yep. Let's do this.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Best side of the coin, heads. Nothing better.
Absolutely correct. Every time I play Madden on football, I pick heads every time. Adam, you are 100% correct, sir.
Every time you play Madden?
Every time you play Madden.
Okay. Heads is good, but pales in comparison to tails.
Well, who doesn't like a little tail, right, Adam?
Yeah. Looks like Bonds did some steroids.
Yeah, he absolutely did, and it's a shame. It's a travesty. I can't believe he did that to our national pastime.
What about how it affects me? That's really what we need to focus on. Let me give you some suggestions. You know,
okay. It's
too bad weak people have to do this. It's too bad guys don't have your fortitude and your build and don't have to do these kinds of enhancement drugs and things. It has to be turned back to
me. I had the same note. And again, with heads, you know, what would make a coin better is if the head was your picture.
Adam. Wow.
You know, like that's face on the coin.
Right. Wow.
See,
that's
you see where you went wrong? I'm playing armchair quarterback.
You guys are good, man. You guys are good.
And whenever you play Madden.
Right.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah. Right. I'm sorry, Howard. Not bad.
Yeah. One other note. If you're going to bring up steroids, he may be on steroids, but no one's stronger than you, Adam.
Thank you.
That's what he just said.
Zach?
It's a great show.
Yes,
sir. A lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
Let's see. What are we going to be doing in Vegas, Mike?
It's a great show. A lot of fun.
Wow.
I was writing a note. I apologize.
It's going to be great.
I was listening.
Yeah. The note should say, listen. Zach?
Yes, Ace.
Wow. You set the bar very high, my friend.
It was
was a privilege just to be able to speak to you, sir.
Look at that. He never stops competing. He's like the great Philip Seymour Hoffman doing the Capote character. He never gets out of character. That's how he keeps his edge.
Yeah.
He never gets out of it.
He's like Michael Jordan when they always say, it doesn't matter if you're playing tiddlywinks. He wants a win. He's always in the winning mode.
Right.
This guy.
All right.
I like him.
All right. So what do we got? Hang tight, Zach. Do we only get one from this go-round?
We only got one, but that's fine. I mean, we got two more to fill, and we got, you know, a few more hours in the show.
Let me tell you
something right now. My ranking show right now is the contenders go. Zach is the number
favorite.
One contender.
He's
right
a
now.
Favorite,
yes.
For sure.
Yeah. $5,000 from Playboy.
Are we going to gamble on who
Absolutely.
Is going to win?
Absolutely.
It's an interesting point.
2-1 right now. 2-1 odds right now.
Cameron?
Yeah.
All right. I thought it was possible that you were a chick, and I was looking for some fallopian tubing in this tournament. But we'll try you. We'll try one more with Cameron.
All right.
I got a feeling about this kid.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
I'm a huge Siegfried and Roy fan. I love that Magic team.
You know, the only way that Siegfried and Roy could be better is if it was Siegfried Roy and Adam Carolla.
Yeah. I love the team, but I do kind of feel like Roy had it coming.
You know what? The only thing that would have been better is if...
I'm sorry. See, the... you know what? No. You launch right into
he
the
was
ass
stalling.
Kissing.
He was
that was
stalling.
A stall.
I don't know. I feel like that's sort of like, you know, juking in the backfield. You know, he's setting himself up to, you know?
He knows he screwed up though, because then his next one
he should go home and think about that.
A lot of big pregnant pauses in there, Cameron.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm just like again. I don't want to see you get hurt out there.
That's all right. That's all right. I understand.
All right. Will you please come out tomorrow anyway?
I'm gonna try.
Okay. I see. Well. He's been jilted.
Not making any friends, Adam.
He's hurt.
Yeah, he's hurt. All right, look, you know, it's tough. That's the point. There's $5,000 at stake. We have to be selective. All right, we got one. We need two more to fill out the grade eight. What are we calling it?
The elite eight.
The elite eight.
I really
right.
think we need to get some women in on this.
It would be nice.
We really, it's, and I think that men definitely have the advantage at this sport. You know, I'm a feminist like the rest of them, but you know, this is one time I really think that men are better than women.
It's interesting. You know, we talk about what sports men and women have an advantage in. Obviously, women aren't going to compete with men playing football or basketball or something like that. But then we talked about a sport like curling. Are men better at it than women? And if so, why? It requires
that possibly
no strength and all that kind of stuff. And women are arguably as coordinated when it comes to, you know, I don't know, video games. Or are they? I don't know. But when it comes to Ask Kiss Rodeo, there should be no excuses for the ladies.
Well, if you're an attractive woman, then you're obviously accustomed to having your ass kissed. But if you're one of those 38-year-old women who has... more than one poster. As a matter of fact, one poster of George Clooney hanging in your house, and you're that woman who's like, George Clooney, he's so hot, and you think that someday you might get to date George Clooney. If you're that sort of woman, call in and play the Ass Kiss
Rodeo. But don't you, when you think of ass kissers, you really don't think of women very often, do you?
No, I'll tell you why. Because guys do two things. There's two ways we hone our skills in the ass kissing department. One, the workplace. Guys are constantly trying to climb the corporate ladder. Hey, Herb, somebody's lost weight. You know what I mean? They're always kissing the boss man's ass, going out, trying to get him on the links, shoot a round of golf with the boss man, tell him how great his ideas are, tell him how great he looks, how tan he looks, all that. So there's a lot of ass kissing and brown nosing that takes place in the workplace. Guys work this in very early and often in their career. And then the other part is trying to get laid.
Yeah.
Guys spend, basically, you spend between the age of early 20s, 21, 22, and 32, 33, you spend a good decade kissing corporate ass and kissing female ass. Going to the bars, oh, you're beautiful, wow, you're a princess, that kind of stuff. And putting on the BS themselves, trying to impress the ladies. So between trying to get laid and trying to work up the corporate ladder, we're constantly, you know, we're like rodents that are constantly gnawing, keeping our teeth sharp. just gnawing. We just keep razor sharp, constantly gnawing on things. We're constantly working out. Whereas women, A, may not be brown-nosing their way up the corporate ladder, and B, they're the ones at the bar getting their ass kissed.
Yeah,
so they don't have the chops.
Yeah, you know what? It's like, I think you've actually cracked the code of the glass ceiling. Mm-hmm. Women, we've all this time, you know, we've been trying to get up there by talent and skill and hard work and and really,
and the threat of lawsuits.
Really, right. all we've really right. we should have been kissing.
Should have been
ass.
Kissing ass. I want you to go on a talk show, Rachel, and say, "Let me tell you what I'm going to do with that glass ceiling. I'm not going to shatter it. I'm going to go around it and get above it and then defecate on it and see what just see what the host does. watch the smoke come out of their ears." All right, they'll give you a quick book plug and you can move on. We'll take a quick break. We got news, we got sports, we got C. Thomas Howe, we got Death Frat Guy, Charlie Steiner, the Dodger announcer from ESPN all those years as well, going to be phoning in. Plenty of show to go after this.
Hey, it's Big Tad. The Adam Carolla Show is coming to Vegas. Come join us tonight at the Spearmint Rhino pre-party from 10 p.m. to 12 midnight, hosted by Dave Damashek. Yours truly, Big Tad, and producer Jimmy Brusca. Miller Lite specials all night. Hottest girls in Vegas, topless. You must be 21 and over to come see the boobs.
None of them with a bigger cup than Big Tad, I would argue. Oh, there may be some chicks with some implants there. Sure, you could always outdo Big Tad with an implant, but natural? No one's got a natural E.
What? By the way, what a thrill for all customers tonight. And for the ladies. You got Big Tad, you got Brusca. I got to say, listen, I don't think much of myself, but I think I'm the highlight of that group.
Yeah. Although I think I'm going too. Why not?
Oh, you are?
Why not?
Ooh la la.
It's a strip club.
That'd be great.
Here's the other thing too. I was thinking about cup sizes. I don't know why, but I spent a lot of time thinking about bra cup sizes. When I'm in charge, we're just going to standardize all this stuff. You know, it goes A cup, B cup, C cup, D cup, double D cup.
Strange.
And then, yeah, just you got UA holes just don't want to go to E at that point, so we can keep track. And then once in a while, you talk to people, and they're like, what's your bra cups? Triple G. Well, first off, is there not enough letters in the alphabet that we have to double down on them? There's 26. Just keep going.
I've said the same thing about the grading system. Why do you make it? Really, it objectifies the bad student. The F, you didn't go from D to E. You went down 2. That's how bad you are. You went down to F. Why? What do you make them feel worse than they already do?
I know. We need to work it all out. And then the whole star system. Always unclear if there's 4 stars or there's 5 stars.
Well, what system do you work on when you grade out a picture?
And I suck and doesn't suck usually, but I am the recipient, by the way, of more minus stars than any celebrity I'm aware of. I had a show that had -4 stars, and I had a show that had -3 stars, which I would argue is mathematically impossible. It's like an athlete giving 125%. I just don't think it exists. How can you be minus stars? Just give me a 0. And if you're trying to do damage, and you're trying to hurt feelings as a reviewer, the way to accomplish that, the most scathing review you could ever really give is to say, the show was okay, it was mostly boring, and I would watch it if there wasn't 150 other shows that were on at the same time. Out of the 150 shows that were on at the same time, it probably rank about 125, 130 for me. I give it a star and a quarter. Maybe 3/4 of a star. Do that. When you say -4 stars, it just feels like, oh, I got to see this.
What does this train wreck look like?
And obviously the guy's an axe to grind. It becomes comical. Yeah. I mean, what hurts most is having a show that gets a star and a half, not minus a billion stars.
Have you heard this review?
It's a great show. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you. People are hearing that and diving into their cars and heading toward Vegas, sliding over the hood. No time to open the door conventionally, going star skiing, Hutch, laying rubber all the way to Vegas.
The best thing Brusca's got going for him is the fact that his lovely wife Antoinette whipped us all up this morning, English muffins with eggs stuffed in between them.
What
and potatoes with garlic.
What a doll.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
I know. My wife yelled
at me. I have to agree on that.
Wife yelled at me because she heard me talking smack yesterday about Brusca's wife, who gets up, nay, who gets Brusca up at 3:30 in the morning.
Forced. By Brusca. Not forced.
Are we trying to start a competition of significant others?
Yeah, do you have a lazy boyfriend?
No, he's not lazy.
Okay.
I haven't seen any food coming through here.
He doesn't get up. He don't get up at, 3:30 in the morning to make me breakfast by any means. But
I'd like to see that change.
I would too.
I used to have a girlfriend. One of my first girlfriends used to complain when I got up. There's nothing worse. At least Lynette doesn't complain when I get up. I used to have a girlfriend. She was a sorority chick over at SC. Little Deb.
Miss her. Little Debbie?
Little Debbie, named after the snack cake. She had herself, she had an apartment that her parents paid for in Beverly Hills with her snooty sister. And I used to crash out over there. But I worked in Burbank, deep Burbank by the airport. And we were over in sort of deepish Beverly Hills, sort of Wilshire and whatever. And I had to be at Burbank at 7 a.m. to install closets with the born-again Christian gangbangers. Oh, let me tell you. It's not about how early you wake up. It's what's waiting for you after you wake up. Mm-hmm. Because let me tell you, if you could go out party all Saturday night, but if Sunday you're going to be hitting the Steelers parking lot, tailgating, cracking some brews, drinking some Bloody Marys, eating some bratwurst, you'll pop out of bed. Three and a half hours sleep, still drunk from the night before. Pow! But if you're going to your horrible job in the bowels of Burbank with the guys with the teardrop tattoos and the Jesus tattoos who just got out of the clink for putting a shiv in somebody but found Jesus somewhere along the way, you don't spring out of bed. You sort of roll over and crawl into the bathroom. But that alarm clock would go off at 6:15 and I'd just be like... Oh, Christ. And ironically, too, I rode a motorcycle, and it was cold. That'll kill you, too, when you ride a bike and it's cold. You have to get kind of bundled up. It's not that thing where you hop in the car and turn the heater on and get your coffee mug and that kind of stuff. Yeah, this was on the bike and through the canyon. Had to go through Laurel Canyon. And that alarm clock go off, you know, 6:10, 6:15, and I just go, $10 an hour for working with someone who's going to stab me with a Phillips head screwdriver halfway into the job. This sucks. And I'd get out of bed. I'd be like, ah, Christ. I'd waddle into the bathroom and I'd hear from her. Her, whose first class over at SC was at noon that day, and that's all she had on her docket. I'd hear, could you close the door? I was brushing my teeth too loudly and whatever. And I would think, oh, baby, I want to kill you. I just want to get that screwdriver. No, wait, I'll hire one of these guys for $20. They'll just come put a hit on you. And I thought, you know what? First off, you got huevos telling me to close the door. But secondly, I enjoy it. The best thing you could do for me right now is to have somebody get up earlier than me and have me watch them get ready and struggle and lament having to leave. That's what I need. I want to hook up with a dude who runs a bakery or something who gets up at 3. Maybe I'll sleep over at Brusca's, and that'll be happening. Every morning, the alarm will go off at 2:45, 3 a.m., and I'll get up and I'll go, oh, sucker. And I'll just settle right back into visiting Mr. Sandman, because it's all relative. Right. And I would tell her, listen, this should be a joy for you. I'm getting on the cold motorcycle, going over the hill, and hanging out with the Mexican gangbangers installing goddamn closets all day. Your head's going back down in 8 minutes, and you're going to sleep through till 10:30. Isn't this a joy? Now, I'm disturbed. And then there's this argument, too. And I never buy it. Yeah, because once I wake up, then I'm up. Then I can't go back. Well, then maybe you should just go ahead and get up. If you wake up at a certain time, you know, you wake up at 7 a.m. or 6:45, whatever, and you just wake up and I can't go back to sleep, maybe that's a sign that you should just get your fat ass out of bed. What are you, in a coma? Just get up. All right. You're in bed. You're in bed and you can't go back to sleep. You know what you do? You put your shoes on. You start your day.
We can start our day.
I'm angry.
This is even a sweeter gig than it already was now that Mrs. Brusca has agreed to make us breakfast every morning.
Every single morning.
I don't know about that one.
And send it over on Saturday and Sunday to our homes.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we were going to talk to Christian. He had a joke, but now you guys brought up Brusca.
No.
I'm sorry.
That's my favorite part of the week.
We'll carry him over.
Yeah. Somebody made the mistake of talking about other things.
I'm not going to point fingers. He'll call back in a little bit.
All right. put him on hold. We have Charlie Steiner, who's the voice of the Dodgers. Away, Dodgers. Also, ESPN for a million years, right?
Yep.
He will. He's calling in. Def Rat guys waiting in the wings. See Thomas Howe. News, sports, all that after this.
Hey, this is Big Tad. It's still to come on the Adam Carolla Show. One of the best baseball announcers in the business, Charlie Steiner. The lovable deaf frat guy will try out to be our traffic reporter.
Sometimes I get a little bummed out about my hearing.
The hardest working man in show business, actor Steve Thomas Howe, will stop by. Wolverines! And as we get set for our Vegas show tomorrow, Playboy TV's $5,000 Ask Kiss Rodeo Tournament continues. You are listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, you should. All right, we're going to talk a little sports with the great Charlie Steiner. You know him from ESPN, SportsCenter, all those years, 14 years. Now, recently hired as the voice of the Dodgers on the away games, right, Charlie?
Well, you know, Vin's the voice. I am merely an echo off in the distance.
Oh, so modest. That's what I love about you.
Well, we do the radio for 110 games, and then Vin doesn't travel east of Denver, and then I do the other 50 games on television with Steve Lyon. So
yeah.
It's a long season. It's fun. Yeah, it's no heavy lifting.
No ass. Everybody listen to that. Pretend you don't know we're talking about baseball. There's just some sport you never heard of. Well, for the first 110 games, I do it, and then for the last 50 or so, somebody you'd go, what the hell kind of sport is this, and who's watching?
Oh,
do we need 162 games to figure out why?
Wonderful! Are you kidding?
Everybody is 500 by the All-Star break every year,
and then that's when the great teams kick into overdrive, and that's what makes it fun and interesting.
Well, let's start at the All-Star break.
Okay.
That's what I say. You vote. Vote your best players who've ever played.
That's like watching 46 minutes of the NBA. You don't need that. You're watching the last 2 minutes, you get your money's worth.
All right. But still, that doesn't take 9 months out of my life. You know what it is, Charlie? I'm bitter because I worked with so many overzealous Red Sox fans over the last 5 years, and it became like a fungus that took over the office. It was like some sort of black fungus.
And the more you spray that gunk between your toes, the more it spreads.
Yes, I had a perpetual Red Sox jock itch. Here's Mike Lynch wearing his Red Sox. But let me tell you something, and everyone should take a page out of Mike Lynch, our sound effect writer guy's out of his book. He's a quiet Red Sox fan. One of the
that
few.
That is an oxymoron in and of itself.
I know. It's really like walking into a stadium when it's getting around playoff time at the Kimmel office. And it's just horrible. So maybe that's what did it to me.
The self-flagellation for cheering for a team. They have a show, Chaz Steiner, that you may know of on the New England that covers the Red Sox. They have a show about the fans talking about their memories of being fans of the Red Sox.
Well, the thing, when you listen to those accents, you then need an interpreter, and then you need the words at the bottom of the screen to figure out what the hell they just said.
Well,
I'm not to listen to
this. I would argue that it's not just the language part, but that most of them are sloppy drunk when they're talking at the same time.
Chaz, talking about the length of the season, do you, be honest though, no, you're doing a dynamite job with the Dodgers. I loved listening to you last year, can't wait for this season, but at what point do you start getting bored during the games? How often does it happen?
Game 11.
Can I be truthfully?
Please.
Painfully on. I don't.
Oh.
Because it's fun. I mean, I go to the ballpark every day.
Yeah,
I get to the park at 3:30 in the afternoon. I hang out in the clubhouses, talk to the players, and then the game begins.
What a gig. What a gig.
It's terrific.
Well, we got a few things to talk about. The World Baseball Classic. We beat Mexico. By the way, was that yesterday or the day before?
Nothing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Take that, Mexico. Like, they haven't had enough already.
Remember the Alamo.
Hasn't Mexico had enough? And that would be my answer. Shouldn't we have just given them a pass on this one? Been like the paper line where we all just let Alan Alda make it into the end zone for practice.
But
you know, give him a break.
I actually watched the Dominican-Venezuelan game yesterday in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun. I mean, it was the loudest crowd I've ever heard for a baseball game on the 7th of March. The previous day, we had like 2,700 people who were probably 70 years of age and older watching the Dodgers.
Right.
Then yesterday, the flags and the mariachi bands and the music and it was just great fun.
Who's
cool.
Who's the odds-on favorite? Are we the favorite?
It's the United States, the Dominican Republic, probably the Venezuelans, one of those three, and on the outside. Nobody seems to know about Cuba. I mean, so that's a wonderful X factor in all of this. And Japan might be pretty good.
Well,
but I think the Dominicans or Venezuelans are probably the favorites.
I like all the national pride stuff, but I said the other day, and I stick by it, let's just distill it down to what everyone wants to see, black against white. Come on now. when you call the game.
The ballpark, what is
when you call the game, please call for that.
Hey, I just heard your last game, and it was.
I do want to ask you also about boxing, because I know that's a passion of yours, and it's mine as well, and you've covered a lot of it for ESPN. I've seen you do the Tyson story, the Muhammad Ali, and all that stuff. What is going on with the heavyweight division?
You know, it's not even, you can't even say the heavyweight division. The fight game has fallen and it can't get up. It's over. I wish I could tell you it wasn't. I was very fortunate in that I think I covered the last golden era of the sport with Leonard and Hearns and Hagler and Duran, and the first fight I covered was Ali, and the last fight I covered was Tyson and Holyfield and all the great fighters in between. But there are no compelling personalities out there. I mean, just think back 10, 15 years ago.
Hold on, you're saying John Ruiz is not a compelling personality?
Not even in the Ruiz household. He doesn't even get to sit at the grown-up table on Thanksgiving.
Yes, his nickname, by the way, is the Quiet Man. I would argue not the world's greatest boxing nickname.
But, see, Adam, the problem is, you get a half a dozen guys over, you pay the $50 for pay-per-view, you'd be talking about the fight all week, and you couldn't wait until the guys entered the ring. Now, you know, you don't even read about it in the paper the morning after. So part of the fight game was the enormity of the event.
Right.
These aren't events anymore. These are just a bunch of guys fighting, and the great athletes don't go to the gyms anymore. They return kicks. They shoot three-point shots. They don't have to get their noses broken. And so the fight game doesn't attract the great athletes anymore, and the few great athletes that are there, they don't fight each other because they're scared one of them is going to lose the big payday. And so the days of the great fighters are gone, and I just don't see it ever coming.
Don't turn
back.
Your back on it, Chaz Steiner, because here's a dream team in the broadcast booth for you. Chaz Steiner, Adam Carolla.
Yes,
that would bring the sport back.
We wouldn't be talking about the fights.
That's true.
Yes, I would be. I'd be complaining about a movie. You'd be talking about my idea about black versus white on the diamond, finally settling it.
Can't we all just get along?
It would be nice. So,
Chaz, what about this Barry Bonds business, though? You're shocked, right?
Well, that might be overstating it. There are so many questions to this story that are just kind of circling overhead. One, is there going to be a perjury rap against him now?
Has to be, right?
I don't know, but I mean, that was the first question that came to mind, because if they've got this litany of drugs that he's been doing since 98, and presumably they've got it pretty well.
200 people testify saying that.
So you would think at some point he must have said something contradictory to the grand jury. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
So that's one. Two, how does this impact now on a much more pedestrian way? How does it impact on the pennant race? Is he just going to say, I don't need this anymore, I'm out of here? What additional pressure is being brought to bear? I saw Moises Alou before the game yesterday in Orlando, the World Baseball Classic, and he was saying, you know, the great thing about Giant Camp this year is Barry's been mellow, the clubhouse is terrific, we're going to have a terrific year, and then an hour and a half later, SI.com puts it on its website, and everything changed. So the Dodgers are in Vero Beach saying,
The good news, if you're Bonds, is when you come to the stadium, you don't know if the crowd is booing because of the steroids or because you're an a-hole. So it shouldn't affect his play.
Back on.
Right, he can always rationalize they're booing because he's an a-hole, not because of the juice.
But why is this headline news? Why is this the front page story everywhere? Is it that he doubled his body size, his head grew to be 10 times the size of a normal human being's, and his home runs went through the roof all of a sudden?
because he had been denying. And now there is this litany of evidence, one thing after another, after another, after another, which disproves what he has been suggesting. And if the book is correct, and at this point I haven't heard anybody say, oh, God, they've just made this up out of nowhere, he's in a big pile of...
Oh, there's breaking news, though.
Breaking news. Hold on.
Chinese.
Wow. Yao Ming's Chinese. Another revelation. That should be front page story as well.
I just feel like, you know, what are you supposed to do? You see McGuire put on 40 pounds of muscle and start jacking the ball out, you know, 30 more home runs than the year before, and you want to keep up with him. You know, he's juicing. What are you going to do? And here's the whole thing, too. You know, this is why I was arguing with those idiots who were in here yesterday. Are we that naive? Do you really think you can change your body that much midway through your life by, the guy, he works out extra hard. You work out extra hard. You put a little muscle on. You lean out a little bit. Your body does not change that way. When you look at McGuire's thighs, when you look at his arms, when you see what he became, when you see what Barry Bonds, you change your body, but you do not metamorphosize at age 35.
You know, those of us who covered McGuire and Sosa in 98 and Bonds later on and all of these guys, we are complicit in all of this. We were all unindicted co-conspirators. We knew what was going on, but we kind of looked the other way. Baseball had come through the terrible strike of 94, was trying to get off the mat, and then this wonderful feel-good story of McGuire and Sosa having all of these wonderful home runs, and it was a national love affair, and you know, we stuff was going on, but we didn't think it was that bad, and in looking in the rearview mirror, it's far uglier now than it was in 98 when we were looking through the windshield.
And it becomes even more apparent as you look back on it, but it's sort of like a coworker who's spinning out on drugs, and you don't see the signs early enough, and then you find out they committed suicide in a hotel room, and you think, oh man, we should have known.
Yeah. Well, what about the rumors that are floating around now? I don't mean to, you know, put you on the spot, but what about the rumors that Chaz Steiner's juicing now?
No, that's pizza.
That's what I heard.
Pizza. All right, yeah. He's ironically not
juicing. We got to keep in touch with Chaz because he's the voice of the Dodgers. Can we keep in touch with you over the course of the year, Chaz?
Absolutely.
You're our team in Southern California.
It doesn't get better than that.
No, it
I can't
doesn't.
Wait to hear what you have to say about these Angels and the rivalry you have burgeoning with the two front offices.
Yes. Chaz?
I love L.A.
We got to take a break. I'll tell you what, though. We do want to check back with you, especially in the part of the season that really starts heating up.
After the All-Star break, huh?
No. I'm talking about pivotal game 38 through 61 in the 162-game season. Those are the critical games. Those 35 games that are toward the beginning of the season, but after the midway point, those are the critical games. We want to check
Dodgers
in with you.
When the Dodgers and Astros get together, throw out the record books.
That's right.
Dodgers and Astros, black versus white.
Charlie Steiner, everyone. Broadcasting the All-World Baseball Classic games in Anaheim next week on XM Satellite Radio. Also doing Friday's Australia versus Dominican Republic game. Good guy. All right. Do you want to talk to Christian? Do we want to get our joke in?
Sure. Let's get it in.
All right. Let's do that. Let's not go to commercial. Let's get Christian. He's our 13-year-old comedian. He called up, told us a joke many weeks ago. We told him to start doing material from the heart, observational humor. And he followed and has not been disappointing since.
Quit with the homework, focus on the comedy. And in fact, Christian will be pleased to know, I spoke recently with comedian extraordinaire Jeffrey Ross, who has agreed to counsel him, take him under his comedy wing.
Christian must be thrilled since he's never heard of Jeffrey Ross. But go ahead, Christian.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. So what's the topic for today's comedy?
This week it's about Slinkies.
Slinkies. Hmm. Wow, okay, here we go.
There are so many weird toys in the world that, for example, the Slinky is really popular, but it's not even a game. It's just a thing that you play with, and it's just a dumb idea, but you just get so addicted to trying to stretch this thing out and not get it tangled up. But eventually it does get tangled up, and once you try and fix it, it's never the same. Yeah. The top is sticking up, and there's a big gap in the middle, and you know it doesn't go down the stairs anymore, and it just doesn't work anymore, but... When it does work, I remember one time my friend had called me up. He said, hey, Chris, do you want to come over? I got a big screen TV, surround sound system, Xbox 360, Xbox Live, wireless controllers, wireless headsets, and chairs with speakers in the back. It's all right. I got an oversized spring to play with.
Keep in mind, too, Christian, this week, under your advice, decided to just, instead of reading it off the page, he's going off his head. True, Christian? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, you know, I have, like, these bullets here. So
yeah.
I put, like, the main point of
bullet
this.
Points. And I want to say this. At first, there's a little transition. It's like changing your swing in golf, you know, working on your form. You're not going to shoot your best games at first. There's a transition to go through, but it pays off when your handicap lowers. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, so this is that transition period, but still, I like it better. It's more conversational.
Well, thank you.
Do you have more for us?
No, that's all I got for you.
All right, well, wonderful, Jeff.
That's nice. Hey, he's got the gig coming up at the Improv. We got to hammer out the details, but Jeff Ross is going to counsel him. It's going to be nice.
Thanks for talking to him, too. That's real nice of you.
Yeah, it's going to be great. People going out, Christian up on stage. So I put back a couple of Sonny D's, and I hopped on my big wheel. Next thing you know, the man pulled me over. All right, Christian?
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right. I like it. More conversational. That Slinky, I used to watch the commercials. There's nothing worse than seeing a commercial for something that the product can't do and you can never get it to do. I used to see it go down the stairs in the commercial, and my Slinky could never figure out the go down the stairs part. I don't know if anyone successfully ever got their Slinky to go downstairs. I could throw mine down the stairs, but it would never walk down the goddamn stairs.
My Slinky went down the stairs.
Yours must have been defective.
It mirrored you. It just was an apathetic Slinky.
Well, knowing my cheap dad, it was probably just an old bed spring. What happened to bed spring humor? Guideline, the mattress, doing things springing through. All right, let's take a break. News, sports, Def Rat Guy, Steve Thomas Howe, all that coming up.
Hey, it's Big Tad. Come join the Adam Carolla Show live in Vegas tomorrow afternoon, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. in the Ghost Bar at the Palms. Show up early. Tickets are free. First come, first served. Everyone will hear the show on Friday morning. And it's all brought to you by Miller Lite. Here's who's joining us on the show. Puddle of Mud performs live. The Spearmint Rhino Strippers. NASCAR champion Miller Lite driver Kurt Busch. Band Stone, the loudest band in the world. Penn Jillette. Republican Representative Richard Martin from Ohio. Ozzy reviews the Blue Man Group. The Pussycat Doll Showgirls are going to show up, and the winner from our Ask Kiss Rodeo Tournament will walk away with $5,000. The Adam Carolla Show, live from Vegas. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite.
It's a great show. A lot of fun.
I'll tell you. I say try the soft sell next time, Bresca. Your enthusiasm is freaking people out.
He's the white Don King, really, isn't he? He's a great promoter.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
I'm excited.
A lot of fun.
Gift for Gab. All right. C. Thomas Howell going to join us soon enough. Def Rat Guy waiting in the wings. I think he's going to deliver the traffic for us. He's looking to catch on here in the show after he graduates from SC. But first, it is time for the beautiful Rachel Perry and her news.
Man, they are just challenging me to not talk about Iraq or to talk about Iraq. Anyway, I can't ignore this. 18 people found strangled with their hands tied behind their backs on a minibus in Iraq. Can you believe what? Unrest in the Middle East. This is, how can I not talk about that? I hate talking about this stuff.
Well, I know. I told you just talk from now on, we'll just bring it up when there's not unrest in the Middle East. That'll be news, because they act like it's news every single day. Trouble in the Middle East. And like I said, go back and look at the Saturday Night Lives from the 70s when they go and do the news. When Chevy Chase does the news, lead story, trouble in the Middle East. You'll laugh your ass off and then start crying. Yeah, I think those people like to fight. It may just be me. And again, you can't judge, and it's never anyone's fault, and it could never possibly be the people. Always remember that, and every culture is exactly the same, and there's no religion that's better or worse. They're all great. Always remember that. All people are great, all cultures are great, and all religions are equal and great. Okay? Always remember that when you hear about the constant stories of the killings and the beheadings and the mass graves. Always remember that. Never forget that everyone is exactly equal, and nobody's better or worse. Okay, and every culture is exactly the same. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Always remember that. When you hear about the poisoning of the Kurds and they find the mass graves, just remember, everything's equal and you cannot judge. Impossible to judge. Impossible.
All right. All right. Got a lot of stuff to get through, Adam.
All right.
Got
baby.
A lot of stuff.
Right. I'm not judging. The more you know. That's it.
There was this cheerleader on the weekend, Christy Yamaoka, from Southern Illinois Carbondale, and she fell off the top of a 15-foot pyramid, and she got a head, lung, and vertebrae injury. But they strapped her to this, they were carrying her out. They strapped her to a gurney, and she was still doing the arm movements. This is her explaining what happened, why she was still doing it.
As soon as I heard it, I figured the rest of my squad was probably doing the fight song, and I'm still part of the squad, so I had to do my thing.
Yeah. She is great. She's a little firecracker. I saw her interviewed on CNN this morning. She was like, well, I'm going to try out for the squad again next year, and I hope to make the team. Really? Shouldn't you just get a pass and get on the team? You fell off the top of the pyramid. That's what ended your season the year before. Do you really have to try out again with all the scrubs?
Yeah, not cool.
How about we just give her a pass? Go ahead. She's a legacy. She makes the squad. I'll tell you, this reminds me, Rachel Perry. We talk about some of the movies I want to produce. Maybe see Thomas Howell star in this one. One I forgot. Sheck remembers it. We left it off the list last time we were talking about it. The Spotter. This is the greatest gig, because she went on to talk about the spotters. This is the greatest gig in all of sports. This is a job where you're paid to stand under 17, 18, 19-year-old women and stare at their crotches who are 10 feet above you. In case they fall off, you can catch them and grab a boob or an ass cheek. What a gig. And, you know, I was thinking about it. You see them at the cheerleading competitions. They're not on the cheerleading squad at the competitions. They're the guys in the blue sweatsuits. They're just standing behind the pyramid, standing behind and just staring up, looking at 15-year-old ass. Think about it. Now, if a hot chick in a miniskirt climbs up on a ladder and you just walk under the ladder and fold your arms and start staring up at her, you'll be tackled and dragged out of town by the neighbors, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're a spotter and you look down, you'll be punished. What a gig. Staring at cheerleader crotch all day long. So here's
what's the plot?
Sorry. I got lost in the gig.
Please, get to that.
I'm going to tell my son, forget about the football team, forget about the Yell Squad, forget about the band. Get the gig. It's the spotter. You'll just be staring at ass all day long. All right. This is the story. Dirk Mannion was one of the greatest spotters in the world. Okay, this guy was renowned. Household name for his spotting. He was at Tulane during the during the pyramid collapse. 2,600 co-eds died. It was that big a pyramid. He blames himself as the spotter, even though, of course, it wasn't his fault. They saved as many as he could. And ever since, he's been on the road, going from cheerleading camp to cheerleading camp, drinking to mask the pain. And once in a while, people recognize it. Wait a minute, that's Dirk Mannion. Oh, that couldn't be Dirk Mannion. What would he be doing pushing a broom at this crappy cheerleading game? I swear that Simi was the best. And he has to keep moving on from town to town. Always looking for the guy who caused the Tulane pyramid collapse. Fat guy at the bottom. Tried to scratch himself and everyone went down. 26 co-eds.
Some say he died, but you know otherwise.
That's right. A lot of people say Piece of Dirk died out on that field. He's solving crimes. He's loving when he can. And he's
it's like the littlest hobo, but
and he's moving on. It's got a little David Banner. Got a little Incredible Hulk to it. And he's moving on. And every once in a while it's one of those things. It's like it's one of those things where he's sitting off by the wings, leaning against his broom, watching the pyramid, watching everything, seeing a kid's looking the other way, collecting, saving somebody who falls off the top, and then sliding it into the arms of the surprise guy supposed to be doing the spotting and moving on. And when people catch on, was that Dirk Mannion who saved that? No, he's gone. On to his next cheerleading college, the spotter. Powerful.
I like that he loves when he can. But it's unrequited love, I imagine. Like they fall for him, but he just moves on.
Well, that's his heart. No, his he heart loves is them. Damaged. He loves them, but he has to move on too. He's scared he'll hurt them. You know how it is. Yeah. He could fall in love with you, you could put your trust in him, and then you could collapse in a pyramid.
Yeah, there's something with the falling there, the falling in love.
That's right.
That's the trailer. Something about falling in love and falling to...
He's a rambling, spotting man.
Starring C. Thomas Howell.
Yes.
Dirk Mannion.
Dirk Mannion, the spotter. Beautiful. C. Thomas Howell is touching. Dirk Mannion, the spotter. Oh, it's
got
beautiful.
Something to talk touching. To him about now.
This is going to be powerful stuff. And beautiful cheerleaders. And again, Dirk just staring at young Tao. That's his job. He was one of the best. Maybe the best. And what a career. What a promising spotting career he had until it all came undone that November morn in Tulane. All right. Powerful stuff.
You should really make some of these ideas. Adam.
I really got to.
Make them happen.
I got to quit this gig and get working on Dirk Mannion, the spotter.
Yes, you do. Let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
In sadder news, we were talking yesterday about how Kirby Puckett and Dana Reeve died. We were looking for the third because they always come in threes.
Mm-hmm.
The director of Shaft, Gordon Parks, died of old.
Yeah, he's 130 years old.
He was cool. Did you see that documentary about him a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Seemed like a cool fella.
Yeah.
Renaissance man. Hypnotic voice, too. Talked in this.
He was probably 70 when he did Shaft. By the way, and by the way, when you go ahead and take another look at Shaft, doesn't hold up quite as good as your memory. Cool song, Richard Roundtree and everything, but if you watch it now, oh boy, this sucks.
But groundbreaking in that it made you know,
yeah.
Black man the leading action hero.
No, it opened the door for Superfly. That's why it was important.
But this song, no matter what you're doing, if this song comes on your iPod, you're doing the dishes, whatever, you just feel so cool.
I go into a shoulder roll when I hear the song and when I'm doing the dishes.
Can I say about Dana Reeve, though, these entertainment shows, not to be, you know, holier than thou, but they were outrageous last night talking about the late Dana Reeve. Shame on them. They were ghoulish. With this, they were like flashing on one of them, flashing in gold letters as though it was something to be read. Last interview! Last interview!
Oh,
and
they kept
hyping. Last interview! Hey, if you want to send letters of love and support to the poor boy, the now orphan boy, if you want to send letters of love and support, what kind of thing is this? Like cashing in, glomming on to this tragic story. Ghouls, I say! Ghouls!
Awful.
And shame, I say as well.
All right.
Ghouls and shame. I'm sorry, was that ghouls and shame? Yes.
Ghouls and shame.
Okay.
Send your letters of ghouls and shame to those entertainment shows.
One of the worst stores at the outlet mall.
All right, moving on. I got lots more news to talk about. I'll talk about later. Right now, I'm just going to do a little Idol wrap-up from last night. Mandisa, the singer of the century, she's a favorite to win. Fantastic. Fantastic singer. She's the one that Simon had called, commented about her weight early in the audition process.
She has a ass that could hold a tray. I mean, you could literally put a tray from a cafeteria on her ass and you would not spill any
platter ass.
Yes, but as I was watching
shelf.
As I was watching the huge-assed Mandisa do her singing yesterday, I was harkening back to the enlightening conversation I had with the Biggest Loser folks and the trainers and thought and commented to my wife, if only she would run on the treadmill a little bit. She'd work that ass right off. It'd look like Rachel Perry's. She just needs to run. She needs to run on the treadmill a little bit and start watching her diet just a little bit more. And that ass would melt away. Those huge Earl Campbell thighs and that mammoth ass would just melt away if she just exercised just a little bit because we're all the same. It's not her cut. She wasn't born that way. She got that way because she's lazy. And if she would just exercise a little bit, she'd just be the size of Pickler. Wouldn't it be nice? Yeah, because her and Pickler are exactly the same. It's just this one eats too much and doesn't exercise enough. Yeah.
When you say something like that, it makes me worried that people who weren't listening yesterday would take what you're saying seriously.
I know.
I just want to make sure everybody knows.
I was arguing with the idiots from The Biggest Loser yesterday and the workout guy. And by the way, as I told Check, I was arguing that it's the hand you get dealt to you. It really is. Big Tad is Big Tad. Sure, he could watch his diet. Sure, he could lose a few pounds. But that's his cut. This is how you come out. And I was saying, I called Sheck. I was laughing about it. They had their personal trainer in, Mr. Holier Than Thou. He was 6 foot, 170, 175. He's a personal trainer, professional personal trainer for a living. My buddy Ray, who's 8 years older than he is, coming on 43, who does nothing but smoke cigarettes and drink beer, could take his shirt off in front of this guy and he would start crying. Ray does not work out. Ray does nothing but chain smoke and drink and eat fast food. And if Ray took his shirt off in front of this personal trainer, he would look twice as good as this guy. How does that work? He doesn't work out. How does he look so good? How come his muscles are so much bigger? How does that work? Well, I'll tell you why. That's what Ray looks like. That's the hand that Ray got dealt. Ray looked that way when he was 14.
Don't get jealous, Adam.
Yeah, but we got to get Fat Tad on this Biggest Loser show. So.
We do, and I don't want to offend him too much. But look, I'm just saying that's the way it is. There's the Mendezas, and then there's the Rays, and then there's basically everyone in between. And if you got dealt the Ray hand, you never have to work out ever. You never have to work out. You eat whatever the F you want, and you never work out, and you have a constant six-pack. That's how it works. And Ray has been polluting his body for 25 years now. Nothing.
And yet...
just a vein in his bicep and a nice six-pack. That's all. And if you're Big Tad, you're never going to be Ray. And if you're Mendeza, you're never going to be Rachel Perry. That's it. You can read all the books that the models put out. You can do all the fad diets. You can exercise your ass off. You'll never, ever do it. Mendeza will never get rid of that huge ass and those huge thighs. Sorry, baby.
Well, I don't know if Randy Jackson and his dog pound agree, but I'd like to know how the fish tank feels. How say you, fish tank? Well, they're in support of you, apparently.
Thank you.
Did you hear this thing that Mendeza said last night, though, about sucking her thumb?
Hmm. I did hear, I heard the unfortunate comment that Paul Abdul made, which was, you sung your ass off or worked your ass off up there, which was kind of ironic and sad. But yes, let's hear the thumb.
Okay, my mom is going to kill me, but I feel secure enough in myself to let America know that I sucked my thumb until I was 24 years old.
Ooh.
God is good, honey, and I'm a walking miracle because my teeth should literally be protruding out of your television screen.
It's true. She's got a nice grill, too. She's got a nice smile.
She's pretty in the cabeza.
And yeah.
So, like, ooh, what an ass.
Anyway, I got to move along. We'll talk more Idol later, and I'm Rachel Perry. That's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
The big news. Barry Bonds is a lying creep who took steroids.
Wow.
Allegedly. There's a new book out called Game of Shadows that has an abundance of evidence suggesting that he shot them in his tuchus, that he ingested them, that he smeared them on his lips, that people saw him do it. His ex-girlfriend watched him do it. His mistress, by the way. Classy guy all the way around.
Family
He's
man.
All yours, San Francisco Giant fans. Enjoy him. And what a shocker. Wait a second. You mean he gained 187 pounds of muscle and all of a sudden doubled his home run total at the age of 41? He took steroids? No wonder this is a headline.
Running on the treadmill and eating rice cakes.
There's more. That story's already been replaced. There's more front page news.
Jessica Simpson is dumb.
Wow, another revelation. What a shocker.
Huge.
All right, listen, spring training ball. We won't talk too much about that, but the World Baseball Classic is underway. This is the event that's like the Olympics for the pro ball players. The U.S. got off to a good start yesterday down in Phoenix. They shot out Mexico 2-0 and went... Oh, wait.
Joan Rivers has had some cosmetic surgery.
Oh, my God, another revelation.
Wow, they keep
Bonds
coming.
Bonds did steroids, and Joan Rivers had some work done. Unbelievable.
Wow.
All right. Few NBA scores of note. L.A.'s Clippers, very, very nice win last night. They beat the defending world champs, the Spurs, here at the Staples Center. That broke San Antonio's 7-game win streak. Meantime, Portland lost, so did Golden State. And in the NHL, Anaheim Ducks beat San Jose Sharks in overtime. One bright note for the Sharks. Well, a bright note for me, I should say. Who scored a goal but the best name in all of sports? Jonathan Chichu!
Chichu!
Chichu scores! Uh-oh.
Michael Jackson is idiosyncratic.
It's a big word for our listeners.
So, in other words, he's weird.
Okay.
That's, again, front page news. Listen.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, we're running late because of Rachel's constant jags about society. Reel it in, baby. Deaf rat guy waiting in the wings. We'll bring him in. He's going to do some traffic for us in his never-ending quest to become part of the show. We'll do that after this.
Hey, it's Big Tad. The Adam Carolla Show is coming to Vegas. Come join us tonight at the Spearmint Rhino pre-party from 10 p.m. to 12 midnight. Hosted by Dave Damashek. Yours truly, Big Tad, and producer Jimmy Brusca. Miller Lite specials all night. Hottest girls in Vegas, topless. You must be 21 and over to come see the boobs.
It's creeping me out. Deaf Rat Guy in studio. C. Thomas Howell joining us very soon. The Outsiders, Red Dawn.
Say no more.
Gods and Generals, Hidalgo. Forgot he was in that. All right, Deaf Rat Guy.
What's up, bro?
Deaf Rat Guy is a buddy of ours. His name's Jason, but he goes by Maverick over at the house. Yeah,
Rachel? Can I ask a weird question?
Sure.
It never occurred to me until just now, all the times we've had Deaf Rat Guy in. Why does he wear the headphones?
Interesting.
In the house.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you can. You have to face
him.
You have
to look at him when you
call. You're asking
Hi.
Me that.
How are you?
What's going on? You look really pretty today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I don't know what to say to him.
Just talk to him like
just
he's
talk
people.
To him like he's a normal, retarded person.
Want me to get you a cookie?
Oh, no. You see, that's condescending.
Don't play me like that. I know when you're screwing with me.
Wow. Yeah, let me tell you something about Deaf Rat Guy. First off, he's a fifth-year senior over at SC. He's a teak. I always say he's in the Sammy house. He gets angry. I got to tell you. All right. You should look at him steaming, even though I just brought it up.
Don't
over
go
there.
There, bro.
Okay. Point is he's looking for a gig outside of college once he graduates, and that's coming up soon.
The halcyon days of undergraduate studies is fast ending.
Right. Now, what's your major?
Right now, I'm a communications major.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get in the hotel and restaurant management, but now that I'm going to graduate, I don't think that will happen.
Right, so you want to catch on here at the Adam Carolla Show.
Hell yeah!
We had, we tried having you do some astrological report, and I think you did the weather the week before that, and we're going to try the traffic report with you and see how that goes. All right? Now, we're going to need to take a break because we're running late, but then we'll come back. And
he also had a crazy story about Moose. Well,
how is Moose doing?
Well, you know how Moose, you know how Moose dresses like a girl at every party.
Yeah, well, save it.
Okay. I don't know. I want to hear the Moose story now. That's your frat buddy, right?
Every opportunity, Halloween, but even other times, he always dresses up like a girl.
Uh huh.
But he was like 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. But we have this new guy in the house, Poochie.
Uh huh.
He looks like Derek Jeter, but short.
Uh huh.
And he was lifting up Poochie with Mike F. at this tried out spring fling, and I swear to God, the Moose had wood. And dude, if the Sammies get hold of this thing, we're dead.
That would be bad
for
the frat.
They can't find out about this.
No, I understand.
Doesn't look good for the frat at all.
Yeah, you find out that Moose gets wood with a dude.
I mean, on the football field, he's really funny because he always wears number 69. But this thing with him dressing up like a girl is going, if they get hold of this, we're dead.
Okay. Well, you better best maybe not to talk about it anymore then. You know, one of the Sammies may be listening.
Could I give a shout out to Poochie?
Yeah.
What's up, bro?
Okay. Let's take a break now. And Deaf Rat Guy is going to deliver the traffic after this.
This is Republican Representative Richard Martin, and God darn it, you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Ask Jesus for forgiveness.
Deaf Rat Guy's in studio.
What's up, bro?
866-901-ADAM's phone number. That frat guy, 50 year senior over at SC. He's a communications major. He's going to be graduating this year. He's in the Teak House. And he wants to get a gig here. We've tried him out doing a few different things. We're going to try him out doing the traffic now. If it works out, hey, who knows? You know, sky's the limit.
The student loans are not going to pay themselves.
Right, you got a lot of student loans. So you got to make some money.
He's very mature for, you know.
I want to make stockings, make some serious coin.
Okay. Well, this is the place to do it, radio. And, you know, you can't do morning radio without traffic. And let me tell you this about traffic. It makes such a huge impact in your life. Really think about it. Everybody, do me a favor. Close your eyes and think about the number of traffic reports you've heard in your life versus number of times you've altered your route. Think about that.
They always say SIG alert, and I don't even know what that is.
That just makes me want to smoke. SIG alert.
SIG alert is when some really lame Sigma Chi dudes come over and crash your spring fling.
That's the SIG alert, huh? Sigma Chi.
Arch rival.
I didn't know it was a frat house, the Six. Yeah, makes sense. All right, you...
SIG alert.
Is that what you guys yell when you see them coming to smash your pumpkins?
If they come, they know they're not getting into the house. Maybe they're the guys that toilet paper on us last night.
The house got teak house got TP'd last night?
A little bit.
The pledges are cleaning that up today, I guess?
A little bit, but dude, if the Steve McKay house, if you're listening to this, get ready to have some serious pumpkin damage.
You know what I like about you guys over at SC? The pumpkins aren't just out during Halloween. They're out all season long. People putting pumpkins out in the middle of August and July. It's amazing.
The mini pumpkins, too, the decorative ones, are really good for potato gun.
Okay.
Because the stem is really sharp.
All right. The point is, it's nice to see you focusing on your academics.
Hell yeah.
It's a little lag time sometimes. All right, you ready to do the traffic?
Yeah. In Los Angeles.
Hold on, we need our music. That's what we need. Hold on. Yeah, there's music.
Well, you're going to have to cue him because he's not going to know.
I'll cue you. There's a music bed. Here's the whole thing. The only thing more annoying than the goddamn traffic, which is totally unnecessary, and stop arguing for it, everybody, because nobody needs it. Nobody ever uses it. Please stop arguing for something you never, ever, ever use, everybody. Please stop it. But the only thing more annoying than the traffic is the boneheaded techno music that gets crammed underneath it. That you think to yourself, what could make traffic more annoying? This could make it more annoying. The stupid techno music that we all love to hear. Here we go.
I don't know. I play the techno music because I can really hear the bass.
Okay, well, here it is.
Los Angeles, heavy on the Hollywood Freeway southbound, on the I-405 southbound, 605, there's a lot of volume due to some spilled pumpkins in the middle lane.
I like that.
San Diego, I-5 southbound, a little slow. I want to give a shout out to the Teaks. At San Diego State, raise the roof. The I-805 northbound, also heavy. Up in Seattle, it's heavy to medium on some parts of the 5, 405, 90, and the 99. In Phoenix, it's a mess on the I-10 eastbound. And there's rubbernecking due to an injury collision. Dude, don't look, just drive. Get on with your life.
Well, I like that. Inspirational words.
Up in Sacramento, the 205 westbound from the I-5 to the 580 is heavy. I just want to say, in Reno, there's nothing really going on that bad. But Ashley is from Reno, and she's really loaded because her dad invented those post-it notes they put on junk mail.
Wow. Now, which Ashley?
The one with the shaved down below.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to say, you broke my heart. And Ashley, not you, but if your parents are listening to this, I just wanted to say that your daughter porked Smitty and Mike F. in the same night.
I don't want to tell you how to do your report.
Don't break guy, but... You don't break my heart, you stupid clam.
Well, Def Rat Guy, can I just say that it's going to be hard to hire you on as our traffic reporter if you're using it as a platform for vendettas. You know what I mean? I think it's important just to kind of focus on the traffic. If you want to give a shout out to a teak house at San Diego State or something once in a while, I think that's fine. But really, using it to put forth venom is probably not the way to go.
All right, bro. I went over the line. I'm really sorry. But in Portland, the I-84 Hollywood westbound from the 205 south to the I-5 is slow, as is the Highway 99 west northbound. In Las Vegas, the 205 eastbound from the 215 Beltway to the I-515 is heavy. Promise to spring break.
Fun party. Yeah.
Speaking of which, what are you doing for spring break? There must be something wild planned from the Teaks.
Dude, we're probably going to haul ass up to Havasu.
Oh, yeah.
But some dudes are going to Cabo. The Tri-Dells are going to Cancun. Some people are going to South Padre or Daytona. It's all up in the air, and it's one of those things we figure out when we get there.
Yeah.
But the one thing I know, spring break, if you didn't get crabs or get your stomach pumped, you weren't there.
So true. Are you done with the traffic? I don't want to cut you off, but
yeah, I'm pretty much done. And the other thing, as the morning goes on, traffic usually gets better and clears up.
All right. So positive note. Okay. All right, well, other than the shout out to Ashley's parents, talking about her being with Smitty and Moose on the same day.
Can I be the spring break correspondent?
Oh. Huh. See, when you you said you're going up to Havasu, you guys going to get a houseboat, or what are you guys going to do?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you can correspond with us, tell us how it's going.
It could be maybe like next week. You could be maybe our travel correspondent. Mm-hmm. This could be your first report.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not wasted, the day is.
I see that. If you're not wasted, the day is.
And move on. What is this, Ashley? I feel bad for you about this, Ashley, but you got nice women. Look, you got a woman seated right to your left.
You're too good for her.
You smell really good.
Oh, thank you. That's my new perfume.
Yeah. I think the other senses are heightened, when one goes away.
I didn't put any deodorant on this morning, but I am wearing my...
I think he likes you. I mean, do you find Rachel Perry attractive, Def Rat Guy?
No, she's really hot and really nice. Thanks. But she seems more like she'd go out with a Tao Omega or something, a guy like Blake Chambers.
I don't even know him.
Well, obviously, big man on campus.
The Rush chairman?
Come on. You don't know? You've not heard of Blake Chambers? He's a Rush chairman.
The Rush chairman.
Yeah, at the Omega House.
Oh, Blake.
Yeah.
I don't know him as Blake.
Yeah.
I know him as something else.
I'll tell you, if you could throw a Def Rat Guy a sympathy F, you could probably really build his self-esteem. You know what I mean? You'd be doing a service for the show.
Do you want me to do it right now?
Oh, let's do it during the break.
Well, that depends on how fast he is, but...
I think he's pretty fast.
I may not be as well endowed as meat, but people say I'm really good in bed because I'm more, like, sensitive.
Oh, well,
because of my hearing.
I'm not gonna do it. I'm sorry. I would if I was single, but I'm not, so
all right.
I'm sorry.
Well, listen, Def Rat Guy, maybe we can set you up with somebody. But either way, you have to get over Ashley with the shaved private parts.
No means yes.
Okay. Well, on that note, we'll take a break. Call in if you want to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo. We have five spots. How many spots open, Breska?
Two spots, $5,000.
Oh, okay. Because Breska did three, two, and then five.
Plus an at-large berth that will be earned on-site tomorrow.
And can we make the call for chicks to call in to Ask Kiss, please?
I think we just did. That's okay. Right. We're going to be in Vegas, and we need the ladies because we have all... It's a sausage fest, as a deaf frat guy would say, the Ass Kiss Rodeo. We need some ladies, and again, $5,000 generously donated by Playboy Television. Anyway, deaf frat guy's going to hang out. We'll play that after this.
This is deaf frat guy. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. All right. Deaf Rat Guy hanging with us. C. Thomas Howell going to join us soon. Deaf Rat Guy, I thought your traffic was excellent.
Dude, I don't know. I think a sing alert is when Blake Chambers is at the Twinout Spring Fling trying to C-block you with Ashley.
That's sing alert.
Because he's a Sigma Chi.
Yeah.
Right.
I like
he's
that.
The Rush chairman. He's not just a Sigma Chi. He's the Rush chairman.
All right. I'm surprised Rachel hasn't heard of him. I really am. Big man on campus. Deaf Rat Guy's here. He's always looking for a gig. He's going to graduate soon from SC, fifth year senior, communications major. I think he did a great job on the traffic, but, you know, we have a traffic lady already, and she's pretty good.
Dude, you're killing me, bro.
And, you know, they got a pretty strong union and everything. But I'll tell you what, maybe, again, spring break next week, you're going to have a Sue with the house, going to be on a frat, going to be on a houseboat, and, you know, maybe check in with us.
Dude, that would be off the hook.
Okay.
Is Moose going with you to have a Sue, though?
Hell, yeah.
Oh, you better not share a bed with that dude.
No, but Poochie won't be there, so it might get a little weird.
How do you guys come up with those names?
Well, Poochie's real name is Scott Puccio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. That makes
Italian
sense.
Italian guy, right.
He looks exactly like Derek Jeter, but he's short, like 5'1", 5'2".
It's got to be mixed for the ladies, you know. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, hang with us. We're going to play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo. We have two, Brusca says, two slots open for the Vegas trip.
Two slots open.
For the $5,000, $5,000 we'll be playing for from Playboy Television. So we're looking for a dude, I should say a female, Tyler, Kevin, Brandon, RJJ. They all look like guys. Women don't seem to play Ass Kiss Rodeo. Tyler?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
Want to play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo?
That's right, I do.
All right, let's get started.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
The war in Iraq. It's not working out. We need to get our troops out of there.
I don't think it's working out either, but I think if we sent you over, you could kick all those Iraqis' ass and we'd be out of there in a day, Adam.
Nice. Decent point, yeah. Winter Olympics. Far better than the Summer Olympics.
The Winter Olympics are good because they include all of those sports that you're so good at. Curling, figure skating, and snowboarding, Adam.
Summer Olympics. Twice as good as the Winter Olympics.
The reason the Summer Olympics are so good is because all the chicks are wearing skimpy little outfits and you can totally check them out. And if you were there, they would all want you.
All right. Nice save. Beatles. Much better than the Rolling Stones.
The Beatles are way better than the Rolling Stones, man. The British Invasion, they brought the music how it was supposed to be. They started the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Rolling Stones, better than the Beatles.
The Rolling Stones are better than the Beatles because, you know what, Adam?
What? We ran out of time. Ran out 1 minute. All right.
He wrote it well.
You wrote it well.
Good. Paced himself.
Well, I gotta heard a little bit more about Adam Carolla in there with the Beatles talk.
But honestly, I think he did good.
Yeah, and by the way, where are the Rolling Stones from? Wisconsin? British invasion. But listen, you did a nice job. You know, I doubled back on you a few times. You stayed with me. You wove me in. I say he makes it.
Yeah.
I say he's in.
I say put him in, yeah.
All right, Tyler.
I'm just pushing Tyler. I see potential, and I'm pushing him to be his very best.
No, I understand.
All right.
Yeah.
I will be my best.
You're the Bobby Knight of Ass Kiss Rodeo.
I'm going to start drinking right now.
Good man. So we'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thanks, Adam.
Good times. Hang on. All right, let's keep going. Let's see. Can't find a chick. We're looking. It's a real sausage fest, this Ass Kiss Rodeo.
It's like the Kai Omega house.
Right. A lot of dudes.
They never have chicks at that party.
And now people are starting to realize, and nobody's going to their bashes anymore.
Yeah, it's sad.
Lame.
They're trying to get hot wings and free beer, but dudes, it's not working. Bring some ladies in.
Okay. Well, if they're listening, I hope it's noted. Kevin?
Adam, I feel blessed to hear your gracious name. Speak my name. That's just beautiful.
Thank you, Kevin. You want to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo?
Whenever you're ready, sir.
Well, here we go.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
I love American Idol. I think the girls are by far the best.
You know, Adam, you're right. Every single one of them will want you. Every single one that has even been in the show, they all want you. They all have beautiful voices that are all singing for you because they just have that glimmer of hope they're going to be with you.
Yeah, the men are better, though. They're far superior to the ladies.
Yeah, you know what? The men are there, too, because they're just trying to live up to your expectations to where they can just be in that spotlight right next to you because you're taking it all and there ain't no room for them.
You're Kevin, yeah? Kevin's a dumb name. I hate that name.
Yeah, I do, too. I've hated it my whole life. I can't believe it. You know, you know what a good name is? Adam. Ace. Mm-hmm. I like that name. I want that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love boxing. I think it should be on every weekend.
Oh, yeah. You can't get, you would get in there, and Adam, I swear, you would be one of the ones that would be kicking everybody's ass up and down, No one would want to get in there.
Okay. What? First of all,
what?
That was like the Jessica Simpson singing version of Ask His Rodeo. You can say the words, but if you got no heart, he was patronizing you, Adam.
Mm.
You
no
know.
No soul. You
no.
Didn't feel it.
No.
That was a bad piece of heart.
He was I felt like complimenting you so much he was taking digs at you.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the boxing, you said you'd be one of the ones who'd be... No,
yeah.
You'd be the one.
I would
one.
Be the one. Yeah, I felt that was a bad Pizza Hut version of Ask Kiss Rodeo. Kevin?
Yes, sir?
I'm sorry.
Thank you for giving me a chance.
It was a nice try, and we hope to see you.
Kevin,
hope to see you tomorrow.
Kevin, this is the hardest part of the job.
It really is. And you know what? It never gets easier.
It's a numbers game. Kevin, stop by my office. Get the door.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to see me before you leave. Okay. Let's keep pushing on. Jake, I hear, has got some skill. Jake?
Adam.
Corolla.
Yes.
Are you ready to go?
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
Call me old-fashioned, but I like to get my news from a newspaper.
Best way to go. They should call it the Adam Review Journal everywhere. It should all be about Adam and what he has to say about everything.
I say it's an archaic form to dispense news, the newspaper. I say watch cable TV. That's the way to get your news.
That's the only way to get the news, buddy. Because you're on it. Everyone's on it. But you should take over all the
time. Everyone's on it.
Yeah.
I suck. I'm sorry.
I thought you had it, too, because you started out so great with the newspaper. Then you say, if your response had only been even better, because then your face gets to be on telling us all what to think. Mm. That would have been it.
That's true. But then nice. You got people, you can draw Adam's face on a newspaper, too,
True.
It works. It works always. I'm sorry.
It's all right. How apologetic people
sorry.
Are about not kissing proper, I ask.
Awesome.
Listen, and look, first off, there are no losers in Ask Kiss Rodeo. They're just the people that...
They're all losers?
The losers, yes. Yes, that frat guy.
I just want to say, dude, don't let the door hit you on the way out. This is my job. You are not going to get this weather or traffic gig.
No, we're playing. They're vying for something else.
We're playing a different game.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. One more. Let's talk. Now, how many slots open? One slot open
one
now?
One left.
All right. Now, again, we're looking for the eight finalists. We'll do a bracketed system.
Right. And we're also, as just like the NCAA basketball tour, we're going to have an at-large berth, taken from the live audience.
I see. Brandon?
Yeah, you need a female or what? I can talk to a female. I could be all the female you need, baby.
Interesting. Yeah. Creepy. Well, technically ass kissing, so creepy that you ready? You ready to go, Brandon?
I'm ready to go.
All right, let's try it.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
I love tea, especially green tea.
Tea, why they call it tea? It should be called Adam. Drink it up, tastes good, refreshing, good to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I like coffee better.
Yeah, coffee's what wakes you up in the morning. What everybody needs is a little Adam to wake them up in the morning, right? Mm. Little 101.5 out in Phoenix, I like that.
Bush is doing a great job.
Bush is always doing a great job. Anytime man needs a little pick-me-up, always look for Bush, right?
I don't. Sorry.
I feel that, yeah, he was working there. I saw where he was going there. But the correct answer there is, listen, Adam Carolla rose to prominence during, Bush's reign, you know. Then it can't be all bad.
Well,
I figured we were talking Bush. I figured we were talking, they're both vaginas, so, you know, what's the difference?
Oh, I see. Now you're talking.
He was trying to insert some political commentary along with the ass kissing. That's too high a bar.
It is. And, again, that's not how the game is played. And, again, the reason we're being tough on you is because we don't want to see people get hurt out there. Mm. We don't. If I just let a guy who's not good enough to get in the ring, not good enough to climb on the bull, not good enough to suit up and get out on the field, he could get injured playing Ass Kiss Rodeo. And we don't want any lawsuits. You understand? We'll try one more. Talk to RJ. Did we talk to RJ yet? No.
Maverick wants to say something.
You want to say something, Maverick?
The lawsuits totally suck. This chick fell on our staircase and is thinking about suing.
Oh, she got drunk at one of your mixers or something?
But it was her fault. She did like 18 jello shots. Of course, you're going to fall down the stairs.
Right. All right. Her attorney would probably argue you didn't have to have sex with her, though, at the base of the stairs. You could actually got her some medical help.
We were just macking.
Okay. RJ?
Yeah, hey.
What's happening? You want to play?
What's going on, Adam?
Little Ass Kiss Rodeo?
I'm ready. I'm ready to kiss your ass.
All right, let's get it started.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
The death penalty. I'm for it.
Me too. I'm down, ready to go. I think you should be the one. I suck at this game. Thank you, Bob.
All right. So it takes a big man just to tap out moments into the match.
That was a shame, though.
Shame. But a man's got to know his own limitations.
I almost want to hear him again. I want to hear him give it a second shot. I like him. He's, you know, when you can admit you're wrong.
Well, it's true. RJ?
What's up?
You want to try again?
I do. I really do. Hey, I live in Vegas, too, so it's convenient. If you want a chick on there, I mean, I can qualify today and have my girlfriend do it tomorrow for you.
Well, that kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, though. You're right.
All right.
He could be a pinch kisser.
Yeah. See, go with that. See, you're right. Just stick with that once the competition begins. You're right, Adam. Whatever you say.
Here, let me explain the problem that a lot of people have. They get up in their head. They're all up in their head.
Yeah.
Close your eyes. Shake it loose. Let it flow.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
what I
remember
mean?
When Obi-Wan tells Luke to use the Force, you know, put away the radar detector as he's flying to blow up the Death Star?
Sure.
Yeah. Go with that. Use the Force, I'm telling you.
I'm driving right now. That's what I'm doing. I'm closing my eyes using the Force.
Perfect.
Good. Use the Force to drive and use it for Ass Kiss Rodeo. Right. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Here we go.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
The death penalty. I'm against it.
You're against it, Adam. You're amazing. Me too. You know what? I feel it's not right, and you make great decisions all the time. That's
all
incredible.
Right. All right. He used the I word in there, but we're going to keep moving.
That's a walk. It's not a base hit, but he's
right.
Aboard. He's
all
alive.
Right. All right.
Okay, okay.
Babies. I love them.
You love babies. You should be the creator of all babies, Adam. You should be on top like the queen ant. Well, of course, you'd be the male giving it to the queen ant and creating all the babies in the world.
Interesting.
So
he's heating up.
Yeah. Baby, I don't like him. I don't want to talk to a kid until he hits 15.
Yeah, that's true. They do get up.
I get so frustrated, he swore.
He dropped an S-bomb.
I like this guy anyway.
I like RJ, too. I'm scared now he's going to...
I feel like he should come with his girlfriend and tap out, like play tag team.
He's like, let me tell you something. I see something in this kid. Mm-hmm. He's like Akeem Olajuwon when they found him over in Africa in the early 80s. He's raw talent. You know?
He's got heart.
He's got no technique whatsoever.
Right.
But if we harness it and we work with them, maybe he can make it. I say give him the shot.
I say we're not in a rebuilding year. That we're going for the Super Bowl. And we don't have time to waste on these cases. What? Okay.
All right. Tough love.
Wow, stuff. You know, here's the thing, too. RJ was great with the Queen Ant, King Ant
stuff.
He probably had
about
8 or 10 seconds left on the clock before he would have made it in, and he panicked. I just, you know what it's like, though? I can't chance it.
This might be a choker.
This is like, it's like Top Gun. He's dangerous out there. Oh, he may be good when he's good, but he takes chances, and he jeopardizes the whole team. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
But we need a, you know, we need
in honor, not with the Top Gun reference, with the Top Gun reference analogy, in honor of Maverick being here, the deaf rat guy, put this guy as the top reserve at least.
Okay. All right.
And you're right. I never thought about it that way.
Thank you. RJ? Hey,
what's up, Adam?
All right. You're calling from Vegas?
Yep.
You can be out at the show tomorrow?
Yeah. What time?
Well, we're going to be at the Ghost Bar at the Palms, by the way, 3 to 7, but you should probably get there, and everyone listening should probably get there a little bit earlier than 3. I'm going to make sure you get in, get settled, all that. We don't even have an exact time, but get there at 2. Play it safe. Well, what's the deal? You have a couple of highballs, you relax, and then the show begins.
Yeah, after a couple beers in me, I'll be able to kiss your ass.
Yeah, you loosen up.
Literally.
All right, that's what I'm looking for. All right, let's take a break. I'm going to thank Def Rat Guy for coming in here.
No problem, bro. Thanks for having me. And please, keep me in your thoughts. I really need a job.
All right, we appreciate that.
You'll have fun at spring break. Just focus on that. This is your last one, dude.
Yeah.
Make it count.
You check in with us from Havasu next week, huh?
I hope I make it back in one piece.
All right, buddy. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Just walked into the bathroom with Def Rat Guy, and he walked right into a stall, and there was a guy on the pot. And I heard a very undecipherable F-bomb fly out of the Def Rat Guy, and then he backed down. And I think, and you know, you feel horrible. What kind of maniac sits down on the pot, especially one as busy as this station, doesn't latch to the door?
Mm-hmm.
You got to latch that door.
Yeah, and once he hears somebody going for the door, he's yelling, no, somebody's in here, and the deaf rat guy doesn't hear him. And
literally fell on deaf ears. Mm-hmm. I would like to live in a world where there was some sort of pressure-sensitive diode that was on the seat, that when it felt more than 80 pounds of pressure, the latch just slid shut, the door shut, and it latched. It would never forever do away with this problem.
Nice. All this automated stuff is going to get us in the ass literally one day.
I know, because I've seen the movies. It's the year 2033, and the toilets take over.
Mm-hmm.
Is this another one of your movie ideas? Auto toilet?
You never know. The other thing is, you know, I think about the bathroom etiquette in general. You know, talked about this before. When somebody closes the door and latches it behind them at somebody's house, if you ever throw a party at your house, that'll always happen. Or you ever go to someone's house for a party, you'll do that. Hey, where's the head? It's down the hall to the right. And you go there, and you see the doors just shut and latch. So what do? You stand there. You don't want to bang on it. You figure someone's on the pot. And after 5 minutes, you go, I'm not sure if anyone's in there or not. Meanwhile, I have to whiz like a racehorse. So I'll tap on. I'll do that ginger backhand knuckle tap, tap, tap thing. And then you realize, no one's in there, but you slowly open the door and peek your head around. Maybe he's running the water. Maybe he didn't hear me. And then you're irate. Why slam the door and pull it shut when you're done?
Mm-hmm.
Leave it open. And even if there is some stink and you're trying to block it out, then just shut it, but leave it ajar. Why would you pull it shut? That sends a message to the world that it's being occupied. We need these. We need these tells in life. We need to work it out. I want to hunt down the guy who shuts it at the party, and I'd like to hunt down the guy who doesn't latch it when they're in public.
Poor and then yells at you, yes.
Yeah. Not sure if Moose got wood or not, but let's keep moving. Big Tad?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on? You're going to do a little entertainment report for us?
Hollywood gossip.
That's what we call it.
I'm waiting for the music.
I am, too.
All right.
Bill?
Bill, hum something.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Britney Spears is nearly 3 months pregnant, and insiders say she's unhappy with hubby Kevin. She'll be having the baby alone.
Really? Oh, they're going to break
sad.
Up?
Britney kept the news a secret from Kevin for almost 2 months and stormed out on him, the National Enquirer is saying. When Britney told Kevin she was expecting, sources say she hit him with another bombshell. She wants a trial separation and is in the process of leasing a $42,000-a-month home in Hawaii where she'll deliver baby number two.
Oh, it's going to be so good. If someone can just keep her pregnant for another 10 years, she could fall off the map and we wouldn't have to see that mediocre talent lip sync anymore.
Here's the bigger problem.
Excellent.
Here's what's going to really suck is that you think like, oh, fantastic, Kevin Federline, he'll be gone. No, what's really going to stink is when he starts dating some other starlet, some other Fox. Worse yet, there's going to be a gaggle of them.
Yes.
It's going to be Fox after Fox after Fox. He's now, by having married Britney Spears, earned himself at least five Foxes.
I know.
Over the next few years. And then I'm really going to hate him.
Yes, I know. That's the thing about guys. Look, you can get a lot of world-class tail in prison. If you're a good-looking guy and you murder your wife, you can go to prison and do nothing but answer marriage proposals your entire day while you're in the big house. Imagine what you do on the outside when you've been hooked up with Britney
Spears. You get the one good-looking girl. You get the one famous celebrity girl. Now you're in for at least 5-10 years.
That's right. That's how it works.
The next thing you know, he's going to be with Rachel Perry. True?
True.
I
say nay.
All right, good.
Hey, did you guys hear Kate Moss did a little coke?
Didn't know that.
But did you know she did it in Nelson Mandela's bathroom?
Wow.
The British press is going crazy with reports that several years back, Kate Moss snorted blow in the bathroom of Nelson Mandela. This comes from her friend, a 36-year-old model booker named Gavin Mazel. He also says Kate Moss used to carry her drugs, coke for partying, and the date rape drug to come down in a $100,000 Fabergé egg-carrying case.
Doing it in Nelson Mandela's bathroom sounds like a weird gay term.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Me and this dude were doing it in Nelson Mandela's bathroom when his brother walked in. Oh, man.
Oh.
Humiliating. Yeah, sounds like a gay porn term.
Uncomfortable.
So let me get this straight. A model that does nothing except for be skinny is doing drugs. Yeah. This is an eye-opener. This is a shocker. It's tough when these role models do this. Tough. Tough news.
And lastly, Axl Rose claims that Slash came to his house last October and totally dissed all the guys in Velvet Revolver. Slash and Duff McKagan have been fighting Axl Rose in court for a while now over the rights to all the old Guns N' Roses songs. Slash and Duff claim that Axl has exploited the back catalog to his own financial gain while not giving them their rightful cut. Well, now Axl has filed a counterclaim against Slash and Duff and is also trying to destroy Slash and Duff's current band, Velvet Revolver. Axl is quoted as saying in October of 2005, Slash made an unannounced 5:30 a.m. visit to Axl's house, not appearing to be under the influence. Slash came to inform Axl that A, Duff was spineless, Scott Weiland was a fraud, and he hates Matt Sorum.
Who, strangely enough, I saw at the Earth Cafe the other day.
Nice guy, the drummer.
Yeah, really nice guy.
Axl Slash and Duff sounds like another gay move. If you really think about it.
Axl Slash and Duff.
First, I gave it to him in Nelson Mandela's bathroom.
And then we pulled the old Axl Slash and Duff. And after that, we just smoked and held each other.
We both finished off happy.
I got to say, I always try to figure out what's going on with Axl Rose. Is he nuts? Is he broke? Is he whatever? I was talking to a Ferrari guy, and he said, I was at a repair place. I was looking at all these Ferraris, and they said, yeah, see that Enzo over there? That's Axl Rose's Enzo. The Enzo's the million-dollar one that crashed on PCH.
Mm.
Would have been cool, because I think Axl lives around there if that was his ride, but evidently it wasn't. Point is this car's a year old that cost $1 million, so I guess he's doing okay. Right?
How could they not? I mean, all those albums are so they must. I don't know how many million they sold.
But here's the thing about all that stuff. You say that about a lot of stuff. This sitcom was number one for 5 seasons, and now it's syndicated. How could the guy not have any money, or this guy was such a star, or they sold this many records, or whatever? I agree with that, but then you always hear cases where the guy's flat broke, yet, you know, it's Mike Tyson, he's fighting for $20 million purses, yet doesn't have a penny to his name. I don't know how it works, but it does work that way sometimes.
Yeah.
Evidently, he's not one of them. All right.
And that's what's happening in Hollywood Gossip.
Nice job.
Let me just tell you something. If I have a few belts over in Vegas over the next couple of days, that does not give you a license to give it to me in Nelson Mandela's bathroom.
Okay.
I think you're a nice looking fella and everything, but it's just not my way.
But if you look like you're asking for it, and remember, we learned from a deaf frat guy, no means yes. We learned that important message. The more you know. All right. That would be a great PSA. I saw the beautiful Molly Sims do one on NBC, one of those retarded PSAs about loving yourself and what's inside. It's always great when the super leggy models tell you to love what's inside of you. But do we have it? Yeah, here's
it's funny, but the way people look at you has a lot to do with the way you look at yourself. Be proud of who you are, inside and out.
That's the more you know. That's what I heard yesterday. By the way, have we run out of topics? Is there no... Is there no teens having children or no people on welfare or no illiteracy if we wiped it out? What about AIDS? This is what we have to talk about? Leggy models explaining you to feel... begging you to feel good about yourself in broad and generic terms? That we've come down to? Uh-huh. I would like to see one where, like, some guy like David Schwimmer just did... The more you know, and he just went, remember, no means yes. Thank you. All right, Big Tad, nice work, buddy.
Thank you.
We'll take ourselves a break. See Thomas Howell coming in here, news, sports.
Love yourself on the inside, Tad.
That's right. It's always super smoking hot chicks begging you to love what's on the inside. Just hold still and let us hump you, please.
Tad's got 3 dozen donuts on the inside right now.
That's right. And some kittens. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Alrighty then. 866-901-ADAM. We're going to be in Vegas tomorrow doing our live show. 3 o'clock at the Palms. See Thomas Howell coming out. But first, time for the beautiful Rachel Perry and her news.
I'm ready, Adam.
Here we go.
I'm ready.
Here we go, baby.
I always love a good story about finding a new species of animal. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they found, I don't know who they are, but some people found a new lobster. Yeah. It's like this furry, blonde
this
lobster.
This just in, Tad ate it. Tad melted some butter. He drew some butter and he ate it. So that was the last one.
It can't see. It's so unique that they had to like give it its own family and genus and whatever. And it's interesting because already somebody's jumped on this furry blonde lobster bandwagon. I heard this ad on my way to work this morning.
Guys, tired of ordinary strip joints? Come down to the San Fernando Valley's steaming gentlemen's club, the Furry Lobster. Businessman's lunch starts at 11. Come get some crabs without spending a lot of clams at the Furry Lobster. And at the Furry Lobster, every Tuesday is Two Girl Tuesday. Let the lobster girls pinch you because you must be dreaming. If it's got hair and it smells like a dock, it could only be the Furry Lobster in Pacoima off the 118.
Wow, that frat guy's going to head out there.
I think he's doing an appearance, actually.
It is a cool, blonde-looking, weird... I don't know. They must have found it in the bowels of the Marianas Trench or something, right? Like 8,000 feet deep. Because I'll tell you, it's the final frontier, the ocean. It's inner space. The stuff that lurks down below in the depths that would crush a coffee can, that's where they find this new stuff. It's not in the tide pools.
But it always amazes me because they're always like, oh, we found a new thing. And it's like a little tiny, stupid little bug. I don't care about a bug.
Yeah, this one's cool.
This is getting closer to finding some new hyper cute pet that I could have.
Not as cool as the fish, though, that have the light hanging off their heads.
Did those really? You know? They don't
angler.
Really exist.
Those are awesome.
Oh,
they're not real.
At the bottom of the sea.
Are they real?
Yes.
Yes.
They
yes.
work at the bottom of the sea. You think they don't exist? How say you, fish tank? Oh, I guess you're wrong, aren't you, Miss Perry?
Oh, yeah. We'll see what happens to those fish when you go to Vegas. We will see. You know, there was this teacher that got suspended in Colorado. He's a social studies teacher because a student had taped him comparing Bush to Hitler.
Yeah.
We actually finally got a hold of the real tape.
It's our duty as Americans to use the military to go out into the world and to make the world like us. Sounds a lot like the things that Adolf Hitler used to say. We're the only ones who are right. Everyone else is backwards, and it's our job to conquer the world and make sure they all live just like we want them to. Now, I'm not saying that Bush and Hitler are exactly the same. Obviously, they're not. Okay? But there are some eerie similarities to the tones that they use.
Yeah.
Weird, right?
Yeah, well, we're trying to spread democracy, and he's trying to burn Jews. There's a slight difference in what your goals are. Yeah. As leaders, but yeah.
It's funny because Hitler actually had a rebuttal.
Oh, really? Came back?
Yeah.
How dare he compare me to Bush? I can pronounce nuclear. It's nuclear. Plus, George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Wow, even from the grave.
Pretty obvious difference between Hitler and Bush.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. A fire department chief in Arizona grabbed a lamb from somebody's property, went into a barn, and the homeowners called the cops and found him behind the lamb with his pants around his ankles. I just like good sheep sex story.
Listen, I would just argue you perform mouth-to-mouth resuscitation the way you do it, and I'll do it my way. I've used that a couple times.
Oh, you think he was trying to save the sheep?
That's what I use. Okay. It's heart stopped.
In entertainment, quickly, Terry Hatcher is going to be talking about childhood sex abuse that she endured in the new issue of Vanity Fair.
Now it's all coming together. All the dots are being connected. This woman is obnoxious. Every time I see her interviewed, it's always about her ideal Friday night is popping corn, renting a movie, lighting a fire, and staying at home. She's
What's
a homebody.
What's wrong with you, Mr. TiVo?
She's a homebody, and she's on every single show ever. Every red carpet,
I'm tired.
Everything.
Listen, all the updates about the Desperate Housewives, Eva Longoria and this one, and Jennifer Aniston, now there's a new player on all these entertainment shows. It's Jessica Alba. I mean, like a month ago, you never heard boo about her. You heard, passing word, Jessica Alba, this or that. Then all of a sudden, I sit next to her at the Super Bowl in Detroit. Yeah. Now she's everywhere. Again, listen on The Insider last night.
Laugh with Sienna Miller inside a pre-Oscar bash. Here's Alba getting red carpet ready and her last mirror check before hitting the Oscar stage. Then limo driven and Oscar bound, Jessica takes a sip on her way to the award show.
Here's Jessica there. Jessica Alba. Listen, leave her alone. She and I are not an item. Do you understand?
I don't know if he was saying that.
These vultures out there, leave us alone. Were we friends? Did we have a nice time at the Super Bowl? Sure we did. But does that mean we had a romantic interlude? No, it does not. And okay. I will thank you. Listen, I'm an easy target.
Sure.
Go ahead and take your shots. But leave poor Jessica out.
Respect your privacy.
Please, yeah. Thank yeah. you. You've had your pound of flesh, you ghouls.
Ghouls.
And just a little idle news. Just thought I'd play you a couple favorites from last night.
All right.
Well, first of all, I'll give you my predictions of who I think is... Are they still voting two out every
yeah.
week? So I think Isla... she's the tall basketball player. I just don't think... I mean, I think she's a good singer and she's really pretty and everything, but I just... Her out.
Yeah.
And Kinnick, who should have been gone last week. Kinnick, out. Mm. But, as always, Kelly. The lovely Kelly Pickler. Pick Pickler. I love Kelly.
Mileage out of that sort of cute little bumpkin thing, but it's working for me.
So Iman called her a minx last night.
I know. What's a minx?
Let me tell you something. I'm sure there are a lot of good bands in your local towns. Everybody,
yes.
How about you head out? Check out some music. There are a lot of clubs. Go see a good band play instead of watching this nonsense. Now, that said, this Kelly Pickler is a fox, and I think that my pals, the Fish Tank, will agree. How say you? Minx indeed.
All right,
well, I'm Rachel Perry, and that is the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. do it, Dave.
The big news. Barry Bonds took steroids and he is a lying creep.
Wow.
Allegedly.
Stop the presses, yeah.
There's a new book out called Game of Shadows that gives very explicit details about him shooting himself in the tuchus, shooting it, rubbing it on his lips, ingesting it. People saw him do it. Everyone knows he did it. So on and so forth. But he says maybe that he didn't do it. He's not acknowledging even the existence of the book. He says he's not going to look at it. Why should he? I say this. I'm not going to indict the man, as a matter of fact. If you didn't do it, Barry, be a man and call in. If you call before the end of the show, then I will take you at your word. Otherwise, I have no choice but to condemn you. Listen, the man grew to twice his size in about a year and a half.
Yeah.
He's 38 years old. He's about 210 pounds. Suddenly, he explodes to a 260-pound behemoth. He starts hitting home runs at twice the pace he was hitting him at his whole career. Oh, he's on steroids? What a headline. What a front-page story. What a shocker. Why is this front-page news? Oh.
More it. Something's breaking
rapper
in.
Snoop Dogg has experimented with recreational drugs.
Oh, another shocker. No wonder the Bond story was front page news. Now this.
Yeah.
I'm crestfallen. All right, listen. Spring training ball. We won't talk about that. Instead, we'll focus on the World Baseball Classic. It's underway. The U.S. got off to a good start yesterday down in Phoenix. They shut out Mexico 2-0. Actually, I don't know if that's a good start. Shutting the Mexicans out 2-0?
Haven't they had...
like to bludgeon them a little bit? Shouldn't we beat them bad?
Haven't they had enough, by the way?
You're right. We were taking it easy.
Yeah.
We felt like they'd had enough.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, more breaking news.
Woodrow Wilson is dead.
Wow.
It's a headline.
I understand.
And a few NBA scores I would like to make note of. Mm-hmm. L.A.'s Clippers, very, very nice win last night. They beat the defending champs, the Spurs, here in L.A. That broke San Antonio's 7-game win streak. Portland lost, and so did Golden State. College scoreboard. I'm watching this show on ESPN yesterday. They got this show, College Scoreboard. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching it. I'm getting geared up for the NCAA tournament. Then all of a sudden, they break in with there's a Duke game, they say. I say, well, Duke said the ACC tournament hasn't started yet. Then they start showing me highlights of the girls playing.
Oh, yeah.
Bait and switch. What gives? Who is watching the college scoreboard show? What part of the audience is like, well, yeah, it's not, I don't know what's going on until I hear what the ladies did tonight. Listen, why is this imposed on me? The political correctness, the women playing basketball. Nobody cares. I know no woman who watches it. I know no man who watches it. How about just the college soccer?
All right.
Enough's enough.
Yeah, there's a handful of haunchy diesel dykes that coach who follow it, but other than that, that's it.
It's ridiculous.
Oh. Another break there. Yeah.
Dave Damaschek continues to deny having a romantic relationship with Jessica Alba.
I don't think that should even be taught. No. I'm tired of even talking about this.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had it with this story. Can I go one day
you
without
ain't
talking
the only
about
one.
It?
It'd be nice.
Thank you. NHL. Anaheim Ducks beat San Jose Sharks in overtime. One bright note for the Sharks. Nay, for Dave Damaschek. For the Sharks. Jonathan Chichoo scored. The best name. How say you, fish tank?
Chichoo.
I've had it.
Dave Damaschek's number one sports.
Well, that's it. And now we'll take a little break. C. Thomas Howe has entered the building.
Ooh la la.
Much to talk about with C. Thomas. We'll do that after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. And do it right now.
Mm-hmm. C. Thomas Howell in studio. He was on 24, Fox's 24, last Monday, and is going to be on again next Monday. But we'd rather talk movies with C. Thomas. Welcome to the show, by the way.
I need to get some of that fake applause to bring home.
Please.
Just when I get out of the shower.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll come with you, sir.
I love it.
Well, wait, that was wrong. In the shower.
Well, that was too quick.
I'll tag along and applaud you as you go, is what
I mean.
But
the listeners may not have.
I watched Red Dawn for about the 26th time alone last weekend, and then some years ago, Dave and I rented, Damashek and I rented it, watched it together, and held each other.
Was it more interesting alone?
It's something new and different to me each time I experience it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Did you have a spider hole when you were 15, leaping out of the backyard? Cutting down angry Ruskies?
I really, all I knew is, I hated the Reds. That's all I could figure out. Not only the Ruskies, but the Cincinnati Reds, the big red machine.
So many things to ask about this. What's your favorite part of the picture? Red Dawn.
Drinking the deer blood was a good time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. You turned because you're soft. You're soft at the start.
Oh, yeah. And I just hardened up like an egg.
But even tougher than Swayze by the end.
Yeah, and, you know, Swayze blubbering over, you know, killing the dude that ate a bug, and I just walked up and whacked him.
Yes, you did, sir.
That was heartless.
Yeah, he had the tracking bug put in him by the enemy, and he broke down, and Swayze was torn. He didn't know what to do. He just started crying and holding the gun, and you just put a slug.
And the other
dude
claims he swallowed the bug.
No, they put it in rectally. I know how it works.
Thank you.
How about Booth, though, in that picture? Powers Booth. Only a few scenes, but powerful.
The man.
Lives up to the name.
Love him on What is it? Deadwood. Deadwood.
Yes. You think you're tough because you eat beans? That's his best line.
Good job.
And then he did that movie where you spit the whiskey into the fire.
And
nobody goes, "What the F, old man? We only got so much of that stuff. We're trapped up in the hills. Now, come on."
Well, that's because there's the special effects guy hitting the propane button under there, and we've got plenty of that.
Where did you film that?
In a small town called Las Vegas, New Mexico, right next to hell.
Red Dawn.
Just a left and a right from hell.
The Outsiders before that, Soul Man.
Yeah.
Payback with Mel Gibson. Forgot about
wait
that.
Wait a second. No, we're not off Red Dawn yet, are we?
We're still on Red Dawn.
Here's the best scene in Red Dawn, if I may say. And I love your work in the picture. You know, you're dynamite. But the best scene is when Sheen and Swayze go back to visit their dad, Harry Dean Stanton. They descend from the mountains, and they go visit Harry Dean Stanton.
Avenge me, boy! He says,
wait a minute. We'll play.
All right.
Well, you play the dad.
All right.
You're Harry Dean.
I like that. But sadly, I was in that freaking scene, so I'm not going to... I was the kid going, where's my dad? Sorry,
oh,
boys.
You're right. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Where's my dad? This was before
I drank beer. I'm sorry, son. Your dad's gone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Was that just Harry? Is Harry Dean in the studio
right now?
He's
entered the room, yes.
When I take on a character, I like to live in his skin for a little while. Yeah. And sometimes that's an uncomfortable place to be.
I was just going to say, living in Harry Dean's skin would be like, you know, living in an outhouse.
It really would be.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm sorry, son. They got him. Your dad is dead.
That is dead.
Now Sheen and Swayze show up to talk to Dean Stanton, who's caged.
Well, first, C. Thomas Howell's character has to break down.
All right.
Where's my dad? Can somebody help me find my dad?
Sorry, son. They got your daddy. He's gone.
Keep it together. Listen, we're down from the hills, old man. It's good to see you. Are they treating you right?
Keep it down. They're looking everywhere for you, boys. You got to get up to the mountains and never come back.
But, Daddy, we had to come see you.
Just keep your voices down and go.
Okay. We're going up to the hills. Don't worry. We'll be okay, Daddy, as long as they don't find us.
I love you, boys. Now get out of here, Dad. And say no more. Love you. Love you.
Let it burn. Let it burn, Daddy. Just let it burn inside you. We'll get you out.
Shh, just keep it down.
Okay.
Just go.
Okay,
we're now, going. Before you go, avenge me! Avenge me!
Dad, shut up!
We gotta go!
All right, they're looking everywhere for you.
Yeah, that is the best part where you start screaming.
Keep it down, they're looking everywhere for you. Go quietly. Avenge me!
That was quite
the performance. What are you doing, you lunatic?
Yes. Yeah, he's telling us to go away and then yelling to avenge us.
Avenge me!
That's him, all right.
I admire Harry Dean Stanton, but quite frankly, I don't know if he has anything on me.
No, you could have easily played that role.
Thank you, C.
We did a little work on IMDb, found out that C. Thomas Howell has made 103 movies.
Wow.
Nobody has seen them all.
Oh, I've seen them all. Let me put this into perspective. Marlon Brando, 44. Hmm. Barely, not even half. Johnny Depp, 44. Ben Kingsley, 79. Harrison Ford, paltry 60.
But Johnny Depp's films take 6 months to film. Mine take 6 days.
Well, that may be a good
point. You know what I mean?
That may be a good point. Yeah. We're still big fans.
He should take a lesson from you.
We need to...
God bless you, woman.
Take a little break. Yeah. If he would hurry up and act,
yeah,
they could get it over with.
I could teach him how to be better looking.
Exactly.
See, Thomas Howell is here. Oh, real quick. See, Thomas Howell does a little show on our own 97.1 Sunday nights. 7 to 9, his producer, a girl, my first girlfriend, Esty.
Wow.
Esty Chandler, or as I knew her, Esther Chilidenko. I used to date her. My first girlfriend.
Esther Chilidenko.
Yeah.
You have her name tattooed on your chest as well. Esther Chilidenko.
And other places, because it's such a big name. It carried on to other parts. Point is first girl I made out with, I almost burnt her house down when I was 15. Her dad's in the Israeli mafia, pretty much. And I will tell you an incredible tale about that.
And we also have to talk about, we have to talk about Side Out.
Yeah.
We got to talk about Pony Boy, the Hitcher.
Pony Boy. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back to see Thomas Howell after this.
Hey, it's Big Tad. Come join the Adam Carolla Show live in Vegas tomorrow afternoon, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. in the Ghost Bar at the Palms. Show up early. Tickets are free. First come, first served. Everyone will hear the show on Friday morning. And it's all brought to you by Miller Lite. Here's who's joining us on the show. Puddle of Mud performs live. The Spearmint Rhino Strippers. NASCAR champion Miller Lite driver Kurt Busch. Van Stone, the loudest band in the world. Penn Jillette. Republican Representative Richard Martin from Ohio. Ozzy reviews the Blue Man Group. The Pussycat Doll Showgirls are going to show up. And the winner from our Ask Kiss Rodeo Tournament will walk away with $5,000. The Adam Carolla Show, live from Vegas. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite.
It's a great show. A lot of fun.
Yeah, Ruska's over the moon about it. He's got to contain himself. I don't want him to peak too soon. See Thomas Howell in studio. We forgot about E.T. I got so into Red Dawn. We forgot about E.T.
He's been a Wolverine. He's been a volleyball player. He's been Soul Man.
Black Man.
But his greatest role? Father. The one where he played a priest. I don't mean a dad, you know, to his children. I mean father. So, C. Thomas is in studio. He has himself a show on the mother station here, 97.1 Free FM. Sunday night, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. His producer, Esty, my first girlfriend in the 8th grade. All I got was tongue action offer. Mm-hmm. Still good looking today.
She is.
Held up very nicely.
But she's still only offering tongue.
Really?
Still tongue. Not married.
Wow, I know. I must have ruined her for all men. Not in a good way, but I must have poisoned her somehow. Point is her dad was a scared... You know when you were a kid or a teenager, you were scared of half your friends' dads? There was Mr. Vendig. He would always come home in a bad mood and start yelling at the kid and discipline him in front of you and freak you out. Her dad scared the ass out of me, and rightfully so. The guy is in the mafia.
Mm.
He's in the Israeli mafia.
But you didn't know that then. He just scared you.
He was the scariest Israeli guy I'd ever met in my life. You've met the man, right?
I describe him as an Israeli Danny DeVito.
Yes.
You know, from Taxi. That guy.
With connections.
Yes.
The man frightens the hell out of me. So one day, I'm over at Esty's house one afternoon, one summer. It's during the summer. She's the only one around. We're 15. I got me and my buddy Chris over there. And she announces she's got to go out for an hour or so, but we can play in the pool.
Wow.
And she tells us, just stay outside. Stay by the pool. Don't pick up the phone. Stay out of the house. Go by the pool. Hang out. Have fun. Do a cannonball. And I'll be back in an hour. Okay. She splits. We immediately run into the house. Start looking through the fridge. Start looking through the underpants drawer. Start getting into everything. We're like raccoons in a dumpster. We go into a room and we find a pot, a hard pot of wax, and we're sniffing it again, like the raccoons. What is this stuff? Smells weird. Oh, you know what this is? This is wax. This is hair wax. This is beauty wax. Chris and I he looks at my mono brow. I look at his mono brow.
Oh, no.
There we go. Hey, we'll heat this wax up. We'll wax our brow.
Oh,
this is going to be a good
Lord.
Time. I don't know what it's like. When you're 15 and you're from North Hollywood, everything involving fire sounds like a great plan. So we go, all right, let's heat this wax up. Let's go do that. We'll wax our brows. This will be great. So we turn the thing on. We turn the fire on. The thing's hard as rocks. It's a big pan full of wax. And we stare at it for 2 minutes, and nothing's happening. So we decide to go hit the pool.
Time for a cannonball.
Oh,
time
for
a
cannonball. You decided to do your makeup and hair and nails after
No, we're going. We're not going for a cuticle push. We're going to play some Marco Polo. This is going to be great. We're out in the pool for half hour, and we notice smoke coming from inside the house. Oh. We come into the house. The kitchen's on fire, essentially. Drapes going. Smoke, black smoke everywhere. Now, this wax caught on fire and is burning. You know when plastic burns, you can actually see the pieces of soot sort of floating in the air, and then they settle on everything. And then you wipe it down, but then they settle again. The whole kitchen is filled
with
black.
And that lovely smell as well. Yes. It must have smelled beautifully.
Now we're scared S-less because Esty, if she comes home, she's going to PO'd. She's going to be PO'd, but if Dad from the Israeli Mafia gets here first, he will slit our throats and bury us in the backyard. This is a mean and scary man with a scary accent from a foreign land. So what do? We open the kitchen window. We're airing the place out, flapping the door. I'm trying to clean up. Then the real tragedy comes. We're searching around for stuff to use. What do we get? Easy Off oven cleaner. This'll work. Oven cleaner. Spray it all over the avocado-colored hood. You know, the hood vent? The sheet metal hood. Spray it all. Wipe it. Paint comes right off.
Oh.
Nice.
Yes, Adam.
Yes, this caustic stuff is meant for inside the oven, but it will take paint right off your refrigerator. Swoop. Paint. All right, now it's irreparable.
Adam.
The damage is done. The kitchen's ruined. I have no money. My parents will hang me out to dry in a second. Give them a beating. We're not paying a dollar. Now, we open the window, and I'm standing in there in the kitchen trying to blow the smoke out of the window. All of a sudden, a scary Israeli man pulls up in a Ranchero. Holy F, it's Esty's dad! Pulls up in the car, and I'm just staring at him. His eyes meet mine. I'm looking at him right out the window. My buddy Chris, the coward that he is, runs. He says, F it, I'm out of here. And
the
he
coward?
Takes,
that sounds like a little smarter than
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he wasn't
right.
spotted.
Right.
Esty's dad looks at me through the window and yells, where is Esty? She's not here. She's not here. Okay. Puts it in gear and takes off. I'm standing there just, I've soiled myself, but I'm like, he didn't come in the house.
Thank God.
Thank God he doesn't come in the house. So I go get my buddy Chris out of the closet, dig him out, yell at him.
Four houses down.
We do our best to clean the place up, but it's there's damage
but
beyond
But you took
repair.
The hit. I would have immediately pointed at Esty and started shrugging and saying, I don't know. I was swimming. I don't know.
She wasn't there. It was my point.
All the better.
It was just us alone. Point is we ran home, and a few moments later, the phone rang. Mom, hysterical, screaming, you're going to pay for the kitchen.
That story didn't even happen. You took that straight out of The Outsiders. C. Thomas Howell and Macchio played that scene.
That's what happened.
We burnt down a church.
Yeah, the church burnt down.
We burnt down a church.
That's right. Pony boy.
Now,
so many memories.
Here's what we're going to do. See? You've already agreed. You're gonna do Red. You and I are gonna craft the script, and you're gonna star in Red Dawn 2, Benny Layden and the Terrible Towels.
I love that.
Yes.
Will they get here?
Well, who's to say? They'll come through the
hijacking planes.
Listen, we'll spitball. We'll see what we come up with. Okay. Adam, you're invited to be a part of the process. We'd love to have you.
More
along.
Than that, he should be the head bad guy.
Oh.
Look at him. You're like Chemical Ali over there.
I could do it. I'll let the brow grow back. So I have the evil monobrow.
You leave that wax alone.
Maybe we'll get Esty's dad involved in this one. He could be my sidekick.
And Colin Farrell with the brow.
Yes.
We'll get him as well.
Put the turban
this
on.
This could be big, Dave. This could be huge.
I love this.
All right, let's not jinx it. People are listening.
Now, what about in the 80s, my sister Debbie had pictures of you adorning her bedroom walls.
I'm sorry.
As did millions of young girls. What about you? You got to play alongside the Courtney Thorne Smiths of the world. That you made time with Diane Lane. What about the ladies?
Yeah, that was a challenging time, Dave.
Did romance blossom?
Well, we'll tell you this: The Outsiders had an eerie Beatle feeling to it. You know, I mean, these guys, Matt Dillon, Tom Cruise, we were all in the same hotel on the same floor, on the sixth floor, and you know, occasionally you'd crack open the door and. You'd get, you know, some screaming, ogling little girls oohing and aahing, and you'd kind of point to one and invite them in.
They didn't care which room. All handsome devils.
So creepy.
Not at all. This is pre-AIDS. This was very okay then.
Yeah.
Now it's very creepy.
I think it's creepy because you said little girl.
What would you prefer? Old men?
Yes.
Old broad? Yeah. It was the 60s. It was a different time.
Yes. So like the early 80s.
Uh-huh. Okay, my point.
Neither here nor there.
And what about Cruz? Did you see greatness?
Emperor
on him?
Cruz, of course. Emperor Cruz. At, I mean, it was funny. He was by far. I think he had the smallest role out of that eight people that we've just mentioned, and he took it way more seriously than any of us. I mean, he was going for an Oscar.
Right.
You know, he was like, I've got one line after the Rumble, and I'm going to win the trophy.
Yeah, that's why I don't respect him. He works
hard. When you guys go out for the big Rumble, when you run out, if I'm not mistaken, he's the one who vaults over the fence. He
correct.
Does a somersault.
He does a backflip, right?
That's exactly like, right.
You know, he worked 6 weeks to learn that freaking thing. Can you just walk out the gate?
Are you sure it was just your sister that had the posters up?
I'm not going to apologize.
Okay. Right next to the Star Wars stuff. Well, that's it. We're plumb out of time. See, Thomas, next time.
Thank you, guys.
Get here earlier.
I will, man.
I'd love to go down memory road
Adam,
again.
Thanks for bringing me on, everybody. Listen to your show every day. And, I'm on once a week, and it's hell Monday through Saturday. I don't know how you do it every day. God bless you guys.
Thank you. Sunday
thank you.
Nights at 7 o'clock to 9 p.m.
You can also see him in Red Dawn 2 coming up.
Yeah, we're working on
what
it.
What was that title?
Red Dawn 2, Benny Layden and the Terrible Towels.
Love it.
Charlie Steiner, I want to thank him, the voice of the Dodgers on the road in the World Baseball Classic. Def Rat Guy, what a wonderful, wonderful personality. And, of course, C. Thomas Howe. Look for him on 24, coming up next Monday at 9 o'clock on Fox. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Thanks, guys.